You know what this is like? It's like those old movies we both love.
Now I'm going to tell you my whole plan, and then I'm going to come up with some absurd and convoluted way to kill you, and you'll find an equally convoluted way to escape.
Sounds good to me.
Well, this ain't that kind of movie.
Welcome to another movie podcast, the show that never, never understands teenagers and always believes them when they say they don't have a phone on them. I am Oscar. With me today is...
Luke.
And?
Ralph.
Why did you have to...
Forget
your name? Did you forget your name?
I did.
Tell me the truth. Okay. What's up, guys? How are you? Curveball.
Overall ecstatic with joy.
With joy. What happened just now?
So the Cubs fucking won the World Series.
And where are we stationed, Ralph?
We're stationed in Chicago.
That's right. So there you go. Luke, how excited are you that the Cubs won today? Like mere...
Thank God no more baseball.
A mere 20 minutes ago, right? That's when they won. We're recording this.
I think the best part was when I went to 7-Eleven and I got that awesome Snickers. That was delicious.
We did that, yes. Because I am also not a big baseball fan. But I'm glad that they won. So that's happening right now. We're recording in the midst of that. So, Ralph, you should be really overjoyed by everything we're doing.
I am, but I kind of want to watch
these movies
Celebrations
we,
and everything.
All these movies that we're reviewing, do they all have an extra star?
It's going to be the worst. Because I'm just going to be like so Debbie Downer right now.
Why?
Because I'm not like celebrating. So.
Oh, you can celebrate with us.
Yeah, okay.
So tell us the joy of movies and how they relate to baseball. There's not a single baseball thing in any of these movies. Wow. All right, anyway, today's show... We'll be reviewing, as always, three films. We will begin with our review of Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, the latest by, the dude's name, Zwick?
Yeah, Eddie Zwick.
Eddie Zwick. Edward?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And obviously starring Tom Cruise, and he produced the movie. And we'll also review Ewan McGregor, Ewan McGregor's directorial debut, I believe. Where he stars in, and I think he wrote it.
I'm not too sure if he did or not, but
he at least directed it. Anyway, his directorial debut film, American Pastoral, based on the novel, which I hear is pretty well acclaimed and all that. Just never heard of it before. And we'll end our show with a review of Woody Allen's latest film, Cafe Society. Remember, all feedback can be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. And check out our website at otherpodcast.com for all updates, information, where to donate, how to show us your love and any support. Which, by the way, if you donate this very month, this is the new month, November, you will be getting a bonus episode of Doctor Strange, which I think all three of us not only want to watch,
but are watching together.
Watching together, and we'll be having a good chance to review and sit down and do a bonus episode on that. Like I said, check out the website for all the details of how you can get that bonus episode. It's really easy, actually. But if you can't do that, you can at least give us a rating on iTunes or your podcaster of your choice, podcast catcher of your choice. That would be also pretty amazing. We are a brand new podcast, after all.
All right.
What are you doing?
We're making fun of our friend Robin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's like the number one Sox Cubs fan since November 2nd, 2016.
Anyway... let's talk about, before we start reviewing this show...
That the Cubs won? So yeah, listen, what happened?
Yes.
All right, what happened is that it was a great
sports happened.
I hate sports.
I think there was a hole-in-one.
I hate sports.
It was a touchdown, a goal, all that stuff.
I like some sports movies.
For sure.
Like Major League. Let's watch that.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen was at the game.
For Cubs or for...
Indians, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yes. Oh, he's from that city, right?
I can see you
do
it.
I don't think he is. He's from Major League.
Okay.
Yes, Eddie Vedder was there also.
I don't know who that is.
Eddie Vedder?
Who's that?
Bill Murray was there.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. Murray was there.
I know Bill Murray.
Okay. So was...
William Morrison.
I can't think of the guy. I always forget his name. What's his name? Chicago native. The guy who does...
Oh, John Cusack.
John Cusack, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in every fucking Cubs game.
He's like number one Cubs fan, yeah. With Bill Murray along with... Bill.
Yeah. They're actual
and
fans.
And Robin, apparently.
Right, exactly.
No one knows Robin.
Yeah. They will after this episode.
They will know his name now, yeah. Yes, for all time. Let's talk a little bit about what we've been watching this week.
Sure.
Or this last 2 weeks. We all have two films, actually, to talk about, which is interesting.
I actually have films. That's amazing.
I know, you do have some. Want to go first?
Yeah.
All right, then. Ralph, you will start us off today. What have you been watching?
The Cubs winning the World Series.
Fuck you.
That's what I just watched. Sorry. Anyways, besides that, I'm super excited. Besides that, I horror Halloween. On Halloween, my brother and I, our little one, not the bigger one who's across from me, but still smaller, decided to watch movies and give out candy to the kids in the living room.
Right.
So we ended up watching Pontypool. Pontypool, this movie that Oscar recommended a couple of weeks ago, I believe. Two shows ago. Yeah. Which is a couple episodes ago. And we were enthralled by it. I almost missed out some trick-or-treaters that rang the doorbell because I was like,
really?
Because I couldn't find the remote to pause. And I was like, I want to watch this. So it was really cool. And especially when they start talking in different languages, it was such a cool experience.
Did you see it till after the credits?
No.
There's something after
the credits. Is there?
Yeah.
I didn't see the whole thing. After that, we were just kind of like, I needed to use bathroom. And so
it's a nice little extra noodle bending.
That's cool. Yeah. I enjoyed it. You could tell, obviously, the low budget that you talked about, how they kind of kept it. But they did it right. They did it pretty smart.
They did.
So overall, it was a really cool, really good watch. I thought from the cover, it does not think anything you can think of.
Oh, yeah. That cover is all art. It's not even like a picture.
It's just weird. It's like supposed to be like a blood stain with a reflection or something.
Reflection of a person.
Yeah, but it's just weird. Yeah. So
with the eyes and the pool, I think.
Yeah, so don't judge the book by its cover. Great intro, by the way, explaining what Pontypool or Pantypool
is. That was cool. And
Yeah. So there was that. And then I rewatched New Nightmare, which is third to last movie, if you want to. No, it's the last movie of
the
series. It's the seventh movie of the series. If you buy the complete series, I don't think Freddy vs. Jason's on there, and I don't think...
The new one with...
The latest remake,
yeah.
Right, those two don't count technically, I think, as if Freddy movies, or specifically. So this is the last one in the series, and I hadn't seen it in years, and I was texting Oscar after the movie, and man, that movie is the most meta this movie I've ever seen in my life.
It's quite meta. I wish it was more horrifying.
Right. It's just I just couldn't get over the fact how meta it was. And I don't know why I forgot or what made me forget. Or maybe just like last time I was just tired of it and I hadn't seen it in years. And I was like, man, I forgot how meta this movie is. And just so it was literally word for word.
The producer, the main actor.
Even with the script, they're reading the script at the end.
Right, yeah.
I was just like, oh my God. And
very much. It's like Last Action Hero.
Huge eye rolls on my part and our brother's part. It was just... But it was still okay to watch. I mean, it wasn't horrible. But overall, I mean, there's other better Freddy movies. There's also worse ones. So
there are worse ones. Yeah. Dream Child.
There you go. Sorry. Dream Child for sure.
Freddy's Dad also I didn't like very much.
I liked it as a kid, and it's just really weird as an adult.
Like, Remaster is still the best.
Right, exactly. So that's what I've been watching.
Nice. So there's still some Halloween stuff.
And now the Cubs winning
the
World Series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard about that.
Right.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that confirmed?
Uh-huh. Right.
Okay, good. I'm next year. I saw two movies. One is kind of a horror movie. It's called The Purge, Election Year. Anyone saw this film?
Oh, negative. I was recommended to watch it. Someone actually told me it was better than the other two Purges.
No, they're about the same, I would argue. I mean, the first one's the worst still.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just
It's a fine idea. The more you watch these films, the more ridiculous the idea of the Purge is, if you don't know, those who don't know. This is part three in a horror movie series where the Purge is the idea where we live in a parallel universe where once a year for 12 hours from dusk till dawn, I guess, you can commit all crimes like murder and shit. It's legal. And each of the films takes a different perspective on that whole thing. The first one is like... takes the perspective of these rich people who are hunkered in their homes, all secured. And the second one's more about like this revenge thing slash kind of like the poverty angle. And the third one is a response to that, which is election year, which is this governor who's running for president wants to stop the purging, wants to like kill it, right? Amend it away or whatever.
Okay.
And she's winning. She's gaining traction. And so when the purge happens, obviously right before election day, the people who are against her, the establishment, send people to kill her. And the whole movie is about running away, and there's this crazy ending. And some of the stuff works. There's some stuff at the end concerning these new forefathers, or founding fathers, they call them, for the establishment.
Yeah.
It's interesting how they feel about the whole Purge thing and how they take it so seriously. And, like, you know, they take it as their right, similar to... something, another
Second Amendment,
like an archaic thing, like people, NRA with their guns, or like slavery with
Second
people,
Amendment.
You know, like back then. So yeah, some of that stuff was interesting, but I didn't think the horror or anything of the drama between the people was very compelling at all. It was kind of boring. I just had to sit through it. I mean, it was fine watching, but it wasn't like that good. And I wish the action was cooler. I just think those movies are primed to be horror, and they always shy away from actually being a horror movie, which I feel is a big misstep, from my opinion. So that's The Purge election year. Another film I saw was another recent movie called Nerve.
I almost saw this in theaters.
We were looking at it at Target.
Yeah.
Kind of want to see this movie. I don't want to buy it.
It has a very flashy cover.
Oh my God, it has the flashiest, nice little cover. I almost want the poster for it.
Purple, green.
Oh yeah, it's everywhere.
It's a nice poster.
That poster has a lot going on. Probably better than the movie. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Actually. Nerve, I forget who it stars. It stars one of the...
Emma Watson?
Yeah, it stars like siblings of other actors. Dave Franco's brother, or James Franco.
It is Dave Franco.
That's what I meant to say.
Okay. Yeah, Luke will look it up, huh?
So the whole thing, it's the whole idea of Nerve, which is almost like a thriller, I guess a thriller. It's about, there's this app, like similar to Pokemon Go, where everyone's kind of communal. But not Pokemon Go exactly, but you know what I mean. It's communal. And a lot of, it involves a lot of walking, a lot of going outdoors. And people dare you, if you are a player or a watcher, if you become a player, they dare you to do things for money. And the money's pooled, apparently, by the most viewers you hit for your dare. And it could be something stupid like someone will dare you to kiss a stranger at the specific spot that you're in, obviously, that they all know because your GPS is up, you know.
Right.
And like kiss that stranger in the booth into the restaurant. Okay, you get $20. And it keeps getting crazier and crazier, you know. And as you can imagine, it's crazy enough where, like, you know, one guy gets dared and he does it and he succeeds. But it's not a spoiler because it happens so in a weird spot you won't even notice it. This guy is there to, as the train approaches, to stay under, you know, in between the track, because apparently there's a little pocket of space where a train won't hit you as it's passing by. And he does it. And he gains, like, and it's also ranked. So if you do these crazier dares, you become ranked first.
And technically you can stop whenever, right?
You can stop whenever. But if you say, there's like rules apparently in the game where like if you chicken out, you get penalized for it. We don't know throughout the movie what that is. And the other rule is you can't tell the cops. Authorities, I mean. So those are the two rules. And obviously you can imagine they're going to break one of those. And you see what really happens. And it has an okay ending. Very preachy at the end. I wish they kind of went all out when they could have at the end. Again, another opportunity lost as far as how far they could have taken it. But some of the stuff in the middle was kind of fun. It was actually kind of fun watching her like sneak into this department store, wear the most expensive dress, and having to walk out with it without paying for it or something like that. You know, it's really interesting stuff. It's kind of fun. So I recommend it overall. So that's Nerve, available to rent and buy, just like The Purge. So that's it for me. Luke, you have two movies as well.
Yes. First, I have Zombie Holocaust, also known as Zombie 3. Or Dr. Butcher MD, as it was released in the U.S.
So what's the U.S. is Dr.
Butcher MD.
Butcher MD. That's the... Okay, U.S. release. But the original title is...
Zombie Holocaust.
Zombie Holocaust.
I have a question.
Is it Italian?
Yes.
I knew it. They love Holocaust.
I could have told you it was Italian. Titles. I didn't even need to see that. Is it spelled Dr. full word or DR?
Full word.
Good for them.
Good for them. Wow.
Yeah, it's Italian. I saw it. It was... I'm pretty sure either it was a bad sound or it was just dubbed really weird.
But the gore.
Have you seen Italian old horror movies?
It was dubbed. Oh, dude, that's the best part
of
the movie.
Of course it was. Oh, my God. Have you seen Zombie?
Oh, yeah, Zombie. With an eye?
I have, yeah.
Fucking amazing.
But this is like, pretty much after Zombie 2, they're like, we're going to make this, and they're going to throw in the whole cannibal thing. So it's like zombies and cannibals in the mix.
Yeah. How does that work?
Okay, so essentially.
He's going to explain to you now.
That's in the beginning of the movie, there's a bunch of like morgues that are getting like fucked around. People are going and like mutilating the corpses.
Okay.
And it's all from like this, and all the people that are caught doing it are all from this one island that this one doctor's from. Or she's like a lab assistant or a morgue assistant, yeah. So they go to that island to investigate, and then they find like there's cannibals there, and there's a guy making zombies. But then the lady who was from that island becomes like the cannibal queen, and they go and fight the zombies.
So it becomes like a clusterfuck of two crazy things.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool. Like, it was just the gore and then, like, the blatant 1980s nudity.
Is it 80s?
Yeah, 19... I think it's literally...
I was going to say 70s, sounds like, but...
No, May 7th, 1980 was the release
date. Oh, 1980, right there.
At the cusp.
The middle one.
Yeah. I mean, if you like the gory stuff, this is awesome. This was just re-released in July, so...
Nice.
It's a really nice thing packaging. It's by, I think, Severn. They've been releasing a lot of these horror slasher flicks.
Yeah, some of those companies are really good at restoring some of it. Some of them suck, though. But if they're good, then I can't wait. I want to see it. I like some of that old slasher stuff. What's the other one you've seen?
The other one I saw is...
It's another oldie, right?
1987.
Okay.
It's called Blood Diner. And this is just like a... It's a dark comedy horror film.
It only takes place in a diner.
Not really. But it's mostly. It's these two brothers. They had this like crazy uncle that told them about this crazy religion he was following.
Let's call him Crunkle. No. Crazy uncle.
Okay. Anyway, the uncle gets killed like right in the beginning of the movie by the cops.
Oh, poor Crunkle.
But then like when they grow up, they dig up his grave and they have his brain and they're able to talk to his brain.
Okay.
And they're trying to like get all these like virgins and all these women and like make their... To get their like goddess restored because she has to be like the perfect thing.
Okay.
It's so goddamn cheesy. Because it's supposed to be funny, but a horror movie, it's... Yeah.
So it doesn't sound like it worked as well?
If you're not going to take this movie to heart, which you shouldn't, it's enjoyable to watch, I guess.
Gotcha. So that's you every time?
Yeah.
So you're good. Which one do you prefer of these two movies?
Zombie Holocaust.
Zombie Holocaust.
The gore. It was a great.
Cool.
Yeah, baby.
So, I mean, I know this is November already when the show comes out, but if you're still in that Halloween sweet tooth, you know, these are some nice movies. Hopefully next time we'll not have horror movies, actually. We've had a lot of horror movies to talk about. But enough of that stuff. Let's start our main review with our first one called Jack Reacher, Never Go Back.
Ma'am? These men are here to transfer you.
Who are they? Reacher?
These men are here to kill you.
Soldier, you know who I am.
You've been relieved of command, ma'am.
No time.
I'm being held here without cause. It is your right to kill. That soldier was under my command.
We don't have time for this.
I left explicit orders for you to stay away.
Orders? You ordered me?
Yes. I knew you'd do something like this.
Jack Reacher must uncover the truth behind the major government conspiracy in order to clear his name. On the run as a fugitive from the law, Reacher uncovers a potential secret from his past that could change his life forever.
Spoiler alert, it doesn't.
It does. Jack Reacher, starring, oh my god, Tom Cruise is in this, guys.
Yeah, Tom.
Toby Smulders.
Cruise.
Aldous Hodge. If you guys know who Aldous Hodge is, right?
No.
He's one of my favorite shows. What's it called? Leverage. He played the hacker.
Oh, Leverage.
Yes, I do remember now. It's been a while since I've seen Leverage. Okay. Or Leverage.
Yeah.
Leverage.
Leverage. That being said, okay.
Yeah.
Jack Reacher 2. Obviously, it's a sequel to... It's just another story with the Jack Reacher. There's nothing...
Right, they're based on books. They're based serialized books where every book is a different mission.
Yeah.
Or a different case.
Exactly.
And before we start on this, Ralph, which one of us saw the first one, and what do we think of the first one?
I saw the first one, and I actually did not hate it. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, the action. I kind of liked the whole sniper thing, mystery thing that was going on.
I love that.
Yeah, so that
opened with that, right?
Right. It was really good. I liked that, and I did not expect that from Jack Reacher.
Did you see the first one, Luke?
No, I was going to try to see it, but I just never got the chance.
Oh, you never got the chance. Okay.
No.
That's interesting.
So
this is
my introduction to Jack Reacher.
Unfortunately. Well, I really recommend it because I really liked the first one a lot.
Really?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well,
but you haven't seen it.
I want to see your comparison, but usually it's...
I don't know.
Well, sequels usually suck.
How do you feel about the sequel to this one?
Well, we'll get there. I just want to talk about the first one. Real quick, I really liked the first one. It was written and directed by Christopher McQuarrie. I want to say the guy who did wrote The Usual Suspects and did the last Mission Impossible movie. So I think it was done really, really well. I was really surprised. That's why I was so excited to watch the sequel, which, unfortunately, as you can tell by my earlier tones, is a big letdown for me. But before we start getting into that, I think Ralph, you chose this movie. What did you feel? How did you feel about this movie?
Overall, I kind of like felt very tropey.
Mm-hmm.
as far as how they had to do, like, I don't know, and there had to be something that they had to hold over Jack Reacher again, right? Because in the other one, it was just a girl, right? In the first one?
I don't remember. I haven't seen it since
they took
theaters.
The girl. I remember the ending a lot, which was that they take the girl and he's trying to help her a lot. Or he's trying to save her. And, you know, they kill the father already, who was like the attorney or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they're trying to save him. He's trying to save her, but they took her as leverage. Basically, like, and he has to go save her.
Okay.
One of those things. And in this one, it's like, yeah, there's this mysterious daughter that apparently might be his. How do you not remember who do you fuck? Like, according to him, he even says it in the movie. Like, oh, I remember all my sex appeals, but you just don't remember the names all of a sudden. Like, you remember everything, but whatever. I don't know. It was a little trope-ish for that movie, for doing that part.
Yeah, definitely.
And overall, probably the weakest thing in the movie, I would say. I don't know if you feel that same way as me.
I do.
Okay, cool. And, I'm surprised he did not have sex with that one girl.
Kobe Smulders.
Kobe Smulders?
Yeah. I forgot the actual name.
Major Turner?
Yeah, Major Turner. I thought it was Hunter, but yeah, Turner.
That was good. Stupid, but good. Luca, what did you think about this movie?
I felt like this movie pretty much had every... Like, if there was a box of cliche action movies, this pretty much had every check mark.
Yeah, I kind of did.
But I mean, it's...
And not even good either.
It's watchable. I'll never watch this movie again, but it's there.
What's that movie we reviewed last show? You guys said something similar about The Girl on the Train, if I remember, and then the other one, too. I forgot the other one. We've been getting some duds lately, maybe a little bit.
I feel like, they're saving all the good movies for, like, now.
Well, also, we could have just chosen the wrong movies, right? There's other movies come out. There's two or three new releases per week in America, in the United States, I mean. Not to mention all the foreign movies. I thought this movie, it wasn't even watchable. I'm afraid this movie was just bad. It was bad. I don't give it as much of a pass as, I don't know rough exactly, but as you guys seemingly do. You have to swallow a lot. It's not even the cliches that really bother me. Cliches are there almost for a reason. They work. I mean, when they work. I mean, they're structural plot points that makes a movie go forward, right? And I get it. And if they're done right, or if they're done with a little twist, or done a little bit differently, or, you know,
right.
with it a new light, it could really be amazing. Good. It could be amazing. It could be It Follows.
I'm going to pretty much point this out in a future review.
Ooh, can't wait.
Today.
it's very nice. So I kind of feel like, it does a lot of those mistakes, and it does other worse things. Like in the first one, I've always liked Jack Reacher. In the first one, I only have one book or one movie to come back to. But
right.
In the first one, I mean, I know Tom Cruise is an action hero, and Jack Reacher is the same. But he's also like shown to be, I know he's the smartest guy ever. I know, I get that too. He's shown to be really smart. He's shown to be very capable. He's shown to be kind of witty too. And the first one kind of portrayed all those main things about him really well.
And then this one, he meets his match immediately.
It's comical. It's almost, the whole thing with the sheriff wasn't funny to me at all.
Right. But I'm also glad they just got rid of that immediately in the movie, in the beginning.
Wait, which sheriff?
The sheriff in the very beginning.
But I didn't.
In the next 90 seconds, someone's going to go, how do you know that? It's not even believable in the stuff he was saying. And the intellect he was showing, it wasn't even believable. Like in the first one, I remember it being much more believable to that stuff. I might be wrong, I haven't seen it in forever, but I remember feeling way different about it. So that kind of didn't work. The whole daughter thing could have just, I mean, it's just like two things happen at once. This problem with this date that he's gonna have, and the other is his daughter, that somehow happens at the same time, and both could be easily solved, in my opinion anyway. Like, you're right, Ruff. He could have just asked, like, what does your mother look like? You have a picture of your mother? That's all I need.
Right. I don't get it.
Right.
Or like, hey, to my recollection, I don't remember effing this girl.
I mean, he could have fucked another girl named Candy. Is that her name, Candy?
Something very cliche. That's a stripper name.
Stripper name for sure. I'm like, okay. I mean, why don't you ask for the real name, assuming that's not it? And if it is it, do you not remember anyone, Candy? If you don't, then that's your answer.
God, I hope I don't remember fucking Candy.
Candy and girl,
the both ways. The product has somebody in the name of.
Love so sweet. I haven't thought of that song in forever.
You're a special treat.
You're still singing it.
Candy,
shut up. I do like that song.
Candy girl, sorry, I'm sorry. I just think of Salma Hayek, guys.
What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I agree. What is there to say? I mean, listen, I'm not defending this movie. I'm kind of on the boat where Luke is. I don't hate the movie. I don't need to rewatch it though. That's plain and simple. If I want to rewatch a Jack Reacher movie, I'm going to watch Jack Reacher. You know, like, one, not the Reachening. So, like, I just feel like this movie And it's like a, I don't know if it's a sequel problem. I don't know what it is. It feels like they thought Jack Reacher's good. And he's supposed to be this great thing, but I hated the fact that he has this whole other guy who's just as good.
But he gets his ass beat.
And I didn't get his motivation, the bad guy's motivation either.
I didn't get it either.
The main bad guy, was shown once.
They were like pissing contests on who has more medals in the army.
Right. And
is that a thing, I guess?
Who can fight? Well, sure, it is.
Because they call it, I mean, literally one of the lines in the movie is Jack Reacher, because he's a legend, right? Everywhere he goes.
If he says X-Major one more time in this movie.
I know, right? Jack Reacher is, what's it called? They ran out of medals to give him. Right. That was literally the line.
Is that what they said?
Yeah, that's what the colonel says.
Okay.
He's like, they ran out of medals to give him. He's like, yeah, I know. He's like Boy Scout number one or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Number one Boy Scout. And, the moments of levity that supposedly were supposed to be their comedy also really didn't hit the note, like you said.
I think Tom Cruise was supposed to be like the hard ass. He was more stubborn and more squinty of the eyes, in this movie than I think almost any movie he's been in.
Have you seen Mission Impossible?
No, but okay, fine. But the last two or three have been more comical, and it's worked for him.
Yes, it has.
And in this one, yeah, it really, really doesn't.
The biggest difference in those is that he has good actors to fall back on the comic
roles. Right, and it goes to, I would say that the daughter, whoever plays her, I forget, did not play very well. Also, but the jokes weren't that well, because it wasn't written really well.
She reminds me of a young Sharon Stone.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see it, but
like, a little bit. For me.
Okay, sure.
Oh, she has eyes, a mouth.
Right.
Right.
2 ears. Right.
White.
Nose.
Right, yeah.
That's my line.
Sharon Stone.
White.
Totally Sharon Stone. Basic instinct, guys. White, yeah.
I like how you just got that now after I said it like 3 times.
Yeah. X-Major.
White.
X-Major. X-Major.
Yeah. I don't know.
I didn't get it. Also, I didn't get his actual stubbornness about it. Like, I didn't understand why he was treating her this way. If the possibility of him being his daughter without actually looking into it, he's supposed to be some crazy ass good investigator. Right. Like, and this is the one thing he failed to do.
My thing is, wouldn't the army have told him, like, hey, someone's making a paternal suit against you?
Well, they can't find them. That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
he contacts them. He doesn't. They don't contact him.
I'm pretty sure at one point he'd be like, hey.
Right.
Well, but he's been talking to what's her face? Can't he be like?
And it's funny because in our first introduction to the daughter, whose name is who cares? Right, Miss Who Cares?
Mm-hmm.
We're introduced to her as to be smart, right? She caught him like eavesdropping on her, right? Something that kind of hard to do because he's supposed to be like, an expert follower,
yeah,
and you know, and whatever, and also catches people
expert
following
tracer.
Him. And fucking he does, and she sniffs him out in one sitting. And I'm like, okay, so she's supposed to be probably just as smart, make us believe, the audience, that they are indeed related, maybe. Even though that has nothing to do with it. Rafa, if you are a really smart investigator, it doesn't mean that your son's going
to
be one,
that's
too.
The problem. He's supposed to be like, I don't know. Yeah, I agree. He is supposed to be this great investigator.
But then they continue showing the rest of the movie, showing her to do constant mistake after another all the time.
Yeah.
Just to find, and there were clearly written excuses, like there were like clearly plot devices created so they can keep both of them in the same room at the same time, like to keep them following. Because she should have stayed at the orphanage or that school, the fancy school. She clearly, there's no reason for her not to be there. You never believe a teenager when they say they don't have a cell phone. You kidding me? That's the first thing they'll have, it's more than their wallet, probably.
Right.
And they just took it like that. I didn't get that at all. How do you feel about this teenage stuff, Duke?
Ugh, teenage angst. How can we get any more cliche?
It wasn't even good.
It sucked.
It wasn't even good angst.
I didn't like her.
It was like Parenthood levels
of
shitty angst.
You think like, hey, well, obviously she stole a shit ton of cash, right? Because they had money. Well, you don't have a credit card in your account. That's cool. I'll pay cash.
Right.
It's common sense, guys.
And also she had to use a credit card at the end to get the last. Oh, right. God. I didn't even. And the. Okay.
Tropish. Also, Jack Reacher survives a fall off the building, guys.
It didn't look that big of a fall.
The other guy's.
The camera angle made it seem like it was a lot shorter.
The other guy's head broke the fall.
But he still made it out fine. But,
I'm sorry, if somebody.
Didn't you guys know gravity works a little weaker in that side of the hemisphere?
Okay,
so
my thing
when
is.
They fall, they don't fall.
If no, I'll fall in New Orleans. Yeah.
I don't care what training you have. If you fall head first a couple feet, on a hard surface, you're gonna get knocked the fuck out. You're not gonna get back up.
Those were pillow wood.
Yeah, pillow wood.
Pillow wood.
Pillow stone, actually.
Was it stone?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, it was a pillone. Stillo. I can't combine them.
Yeah.
It's hard. Okay, anything else on the daughter before we move on? Because that's ridiculous. And it's one thing after another. And she looked ugly. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. Sorry, she looked fine. They didn't look similar either, by the way. You should have picked someone that at least tried to look a little similar to her. But whatever. The action.
Okay.
It was kind of cool.
I didn't think it was anything.
Nothing special. That was sad.
See, I didn't go.
Because
I didn't watch the first one. So
that
I don't
last
know.
Scene in the first one.
Yeah, but you think Tom Cruise
that
an
last
action
scene,
movie?
That last scene in the first one where he actually it was a great scene. Like he does a lot
the
of
the car chase was really fun.
It was really fun. And this one, there's nothing great.
Nope.
I can't even remember except for the dock scene. I guess even then that was
right. Good. That's probably the best one. Probably that whole scene when he's in an alley after he visits the wife of that junkie.
Would he bust the guy's face with that what's it called, what was it, that metal the hook
remember.
Or whatever where,
sure.
Where he's like do you want to shoot me, because if you ain't, where he's telling the four guys,
yeah, he was struggling to find an excuse not to shoot him. That was kind of stupid too. Just shoot his kneecaps, doesn't matter. But whatever. That whole thing about leading them into the warehouse, like, why is this taking so long to start this battle?
I know, it's like, well, warehouses are cool, so
yeah, I guess
you gotta lead them in.
Yeah, a place with, like...
Right, why didn't they pull out their guns and start shooting at them?
Right.
Right. I'd be like, you're
because
Jack
every
Reacher.
Other goon did that.
And you can't have any caps.
I just don't get it.
Yeah. That was stupid. So the action was either, like, silly or just, like, barely mediocre for me.
Right.
Which is another bad thing. Yeah. Or unfortunate thing. Yeah, so to, I mean, I guess Tom Cruise didn't get to, you know, do some crazy stunt. Maybe that's why he was, like, not good.
Listen, I'll say it now. He was held back by women. That's it.
That's funny. There is that one of the really good scenes. That's fine. One of the really good scenes I liked about it, if anything about the movie, is when they have him and Major Turner are having that discussion about... Like, yeah, you should stay behind. He's like, because I'm a woman? And she starts going enough on him. Like, oh, well, he's not kind of... She's kind of right.
That's yes and no, but maybe because they're after you, not me.
I mean, more than her. Like, if she was out there, she wouldn't be able to use that excuse about the phone call. Like, don't shoot my kneecaps because if he expects my call, I'm like, no, we're after you, bitch. Who cares
about
him?
The thing.
I know. It's a good reason. I'm not saying he was wrong, Tom Cruise or whatever, Jack Reacher for going
right. But then this is what's stupid. Stay here with the kid, okay? But then we can both go out later and leave the kid alone.
I know.
I don't get it. Why am I not working?
Uber and Lyft is all over the place.
Oh, I bet.
It's
like probably like 9 times surge.
Probably.
It was last week. And we're going to pause, get our Lyft on, get our Uber on, make some money. And
I'll be Uber, I guess.
And we'll come back with a brand new recorded in a new studio, recording the crisp audio quality you deserve.
Exactly.
You'll hear all of our ass scratches.
Ew. Don't scratch. Oh, that's your kneecap.
Yeah, that was
you don't have to know that.
I'm telling them. I don't want them giving them an image or something. Okay, anything else on this movie?
Not theater worthy, unfortunately.
No.
Oh
my god, we had annoying ass theater
going. Oh, we had the typical guy in the back at anything, always left out loud, said stupid stuff like, oh my god, I can't believe it. Oh
sweet Jesus.
Like, I seriously, I don't think I've ever been in a theater with that cliche person. I thought that was just something that people made
like
up.
Every time someone would say something sassy, like, oh, I'm like, shut up. I won't care.
No, I've been in the theater. I think I watched one of the Paranormal Activities.
Yeah.
And, it was...
And the theater wasn't that full. Like,
it wasn't. So you heard everything.
I saw it, like, on a Monday night or something.
Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Even worse.
Pretty sure it wasn't
last showing on a Tuesday night.
Last showing, yeah.
All right. Well, it is what it is.
It sucked. What were you saying about not theater going?
No, I mean, maybe background movie. If it's on Netflix, give it a go. Maybe if you want to watch it, just to watch it, to get rid of, you know... But I wouldn't rent
it
either.
And it sucks because Edward Zwick, he has some really good movies. Glory is really good. Blood Diamond I really liked. I know it's a lot of cliche. People don't like it because of all the Oscar buzz that came with it and Leo DiCaprio. But I really liked it. I really liked his action. I liked everything.
I liked the action in Blood Diamond.
And the action was pretty good, too. I mean, that's great.
The story was pretty good,
too. Edward Zwick is not known for action directing, but he's done good action. Like The Last Samurai. It was good action in that movie. I like it. Probably makes no sense, but yes.
I like it, except for the fact that Tom Cruise is, you know, not the last samurai.
Yeah, exactly. The main problem.
Right, exactly.
But lately, he has not been doing really good. And, I mean, right. Defiance kind of sucked.
I think he's leaning on the fact that he has buddy-buddy with Tom Cruise, and he's just like, I'm going to get the money anyway.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of just a letdown. I didn't know he was. I didn't even know he directed it until we were at the movie theater.
Wow.
So I didn't look into it. I just saw the trailer once, and that's it.
Sure.
But yeah, but, Tom Cruise himself as an actor in this movie as Jack Reacher coming back, reaching again for other things. By the way, he does some good reaching, so I'll say that for the movie. He reaches for his gun, he reaches for the girl, he reaches for Kobe Smolder sometimes.
He tells people not to reach for
things. Right, he tells people not. He's
that's
really
his job.
On top of his reaching capabilities, yes. I would say that's a good thing about the movie.
He doesn't let the women reach their, you know, potential.
Wow.
Zing.
Wow, that's good.
He reaches for the other guy's jaw with his fist.
That's true. Man, how does he kill him at the end there? With a punch, was it?
I don't know.
Something strange.
That fall should have killed him.
Oh, is that how
he did it? He drops him off the building, too.
Yeah, he also does that.
I think gravity did that, guys.
Jack Reacher 3. I was not dead yet.
I mean,
I fell on a big raccoon. No, I broke my fall.
Never.
I'm here to avenge.
And then mothered me.
Wow. Gave me his milk.
Now I am. Now I am king of the raccoons.
Don't say that. It's funny though.
Yeah.
Before the raccoon. What was I gonna say about that?
The one thing.
What does never go back mean? Just never go back to the army?
I don't get it. Yeah, that's one thing. I think.
What I'm trying to remember the first movie again. After
neither I'm trying to. I don't remember much of the plot, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't remember if it gets him out of the military, but it must have.
Yeah,
and I guess never go back. The title implies that he never go back to the military. I assume
yeah. That or just maybe specifically his platoon.
Never go back to Washington D.C.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
yeah.
A bunch of drama.
Right.
That could be it.
MPs everywhere.
Yeah, MPs everywhere. Yeah, yeah. And that's a whole world that I don't really
right. Me neither.
Understand.
Yeah. Maybe if I watched it with a buddy of ours or friend.
I've seen a few episodes of JAG and things like that, but never that much to know, right? Anyway, what I was trying to say earlier is that Tom Cruise as Jack Reacher, he's not bad in the movie. He is doing his best, but like he's always good. Tom Cruise for me, but just this movie wasn't very good.
Probably the cutest, if not most good-looking hitchhiker out there.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
By far.
Although, how... Yeah, I guess. Would you pick him up?
Maybe. Hell yeah. If you had Bud Light.
Ew.
Oh, that commercial?
It's that commercial, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. He has a chainsaw.
But he's got Bud Light.
Yeah, I remember.
I'm just thinking of... Jay and Silent Bob movie.
Oh, yeah. The blowjob thing?
Yeah.
Wait, what? I don't remember that movie.
What? You don't remember that part? It's with... oh, my God. What's it called? The late... Actor or yeah, comedy.
Oh.
George Carlin,
yeah.
How he tells them, you know, you have to, you like, kind of give him a head, and they go with the nun. And she's like, oh, I live by the book. And he's like, okay. And he goes down on the nun, and they get kicked out of the car.
What movie was that? Was that?
Jay and Silent Bob.
Strikes Back?
Yeah.
Okay, I really don't remember that part.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, it's been a while. I remember him farting in the middle of robbing something.
All right, let's wrap this one up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Are you sure any last things on the movie? Look,
nope.
Yes,
nope.
You have three other opinions. All right,
nope.
We're gonna take a quick break.
Nope.
We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we'll review the second film we're reviewing, which is I forget the title. Oh my god, I'm
Trolls.
Scrambling. American Pastoral. God, not Trolls.
Ooh, American Pasta.
Jesus Christ, stay with us.
Lasagna.
You want to protest the war? Protest it right here in Old Rimrock.
What am I gonna do? March around the post office.
Bring the war home. Isn't that the slogan? Look, they gave me this award. It's just a stupid plaque, but it means one thing. If you take a stand, people notice. If you oppose the war, right here, with all your strength, this is part of America too, you know.
Read Marx. Revolutions don't begin in the countryside.
We're not talking about revolution.
You're not talking about revolution.
You think about what I'm saying.
In 1968, a hard-working man who has been a staple in his quaint community for years watches his seemingly perfect middle-class life fall apart as his daughter's new radical political affiliation threatens to destroy their family.
Threatens, I succeed, maybe.
Interesting. American Pastoral, directorial debut, I guess, for Ewan McGregor. I'm here. Calm down. And also starring Ewan McGregor, along with Jennifer Connelly, Dakota Fanning.
Oh, that's her when she... Wait, Dakota Fanning is who?
Dakota Fanning is the girl.
Oh, that's right.
The daughter.
I didn't recognize
just not
her.
As a kid. Because she's like 22 now.
Yeah.
It's funny, you think of that name, you think of a little girl, right?
Yeah, I do.
Right.
I do.
She's Danny's age.
From Push.
Or oh close gosh, to Danny's age,
yeah. Okay.
And also, I guess, other stars, Peter Rygaard or Rygaard, Rupert Evans, Molly Parker.
David Strathairn is in the movie, too.
Sure, whoever that is. This is based on the book of Philip Roth, but it's written by John Romano.
Right.
Screenplay, anyways.
Right. The adaptation.
Yeah. So there's a crime drama.
Oh, is that what it's called? Crime drama? That's interesting.
Very interesting.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah.
There was a crime. There was drama, I guess.
It fits the criteria. Although if someone jaywalks in the movie, that's considered a crime.
Right.
Yeah. So pretty much most movies are crime dramas.
Crime comedy, crime drama, crime romance.
We'll go around. We'll go around, obviously. And we'll just ask quick if you liked it or not, or what you think, quick notes.
Like how we always start.
And then, yeah, like how we always start. And then I have some questions. And then, obviously, we'll kick it off anybody else who has questions. So, Oscar, what did you think?
It was better than I thought going in. Better than... I felt like... you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Ben Affleck's first movie when he wrote and directed something, or just directed. He did Gone, Baby, Gone. And I was like, dude, Ben Affleck, dude, he's going to direct a movie. What? No way. It's going to suck. And I saw it and it was really good. Now, this isn't on that level. Gone Baby Gone is a really good movie. Like, probably great. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, where his brother steals the show. Uh-huh.
It's really, really good movie. Well, he's not in it. Ben Affleck is not in the movie.
Yeah, I'd so say his brother steals the show.
I guess. But this one doesn't feel quite as well, but it is better than I would have thought going in. So, yeah, I liked it.
Cool. Lucas?
Same thing. I saw all the preview. I mean, the Metacritic score.
Yeah,
it looks horrible. But I
actually, what is it, 40% or something?
Something like that.
It was like 20% on Rotten Tomatoes, or like maybe 30.
Really?
Okay. Well, then again, look at the crowd. That's probably on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right. Exactly. The crowd. Yeah.
Me and Ralph were the two youngest people in that fucking theater by at least two decades.
Oh, so today I saw it today. I was the only person. In the
Well, I mean, it's been like 3 weeks now, 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's also like limited.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought it was actually pretty cool. I was really intrigued like the first majority half of the movie, but then kind of like phased off a little, but you know, more on that later.
Okay,
cool. Yeah, I'm with Luke on this one. We talked about this because we saw it together. Yeah, definitely. I say a decade and a half, but you say two decades, so sure. Young. And I really liked the first half of the movie, for sure.
Okay.
And the second half is a little sketchy because there's a lot of stuff going on, and I don't know, interesting things, where it goes and why it needs to go there. I also, and this is where I'll get to, overall, I guess I liked the movie. And I thought way better than what I thought it was going to be. Also, I saw one trailer.
I think I let the credits.
I didn't even see a trailer for it.
I saw a trailer for it just because, like, I saw a trailer after I said we were going to watch this movie.
Oh, okay.
So I just picked it to pick it. And, and then I saw a trailer for it and I was like, okay, looks interesting. So overall, yes.
I knew nothing going in.
Okay, cool. That being said, what do you guys think about how this story is told for you guys? Because this is the beginning. So this movie starts off where some guy, a famous writer, theoretically the guy who wrote the book, right?
Yeah, very atonement.
A journalist?
Very much like a lot of movies.
Oh, he's a famous author. They say he's a famous author, right?
I think so.
Famous writer. Maybe he is a journalist. Yeah,
they do mention that, yeah.
So, and he goes to his high school reunion of like 50 years later. And he meets a friend, and he finds out that the high school god of the times, that he still has a trophy case, you know, of all the trophies.
Yeah, he has a strange name. What was his name again? What, Swede?
Swede.
Swede was his nickname. It was Seymour.
The Swede was his nickname.
Right, yeah, the Swede.
And, they found out that this guy died, and then he tells them a story all about his daughter, why his daughter. And then you get this story, but if you're living through it. And then you forget that. Because sometime later on in the movie, all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, it's a story being told. And you're like, what the fuck? And then at the very end, you're like, oh yeah, that's right, again. So what do you guys think of that? Why bring it up like that? Did you guys like that at all? Or
no.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like a thing, just to kind of introduce the movie and whatever.
There are two major faults I have with the movie, and that's one of them. It's the bookmarks of this whole telling the story that you're watching. We don't need that. We're watching a movie. Well, we're going to go see a story being told.
The book is done the same way, so.
That doesn't mean anything. I mean, it means
it could be true to the source.
It means that it works better in the novel than at all.
Do you think that, I think the reason they do it, and I'm pretty sure you'll agree, is to hype up how amazing this guy is supposed to be.
I think it's supposed to hype up how tragic the story is going to be.
Because yeah, the, how tragic the story obviously
like, wow,
will
you
be.
Laugh but when it really got
but
exciting.
You hype up exactly. You hype up this person, the Swede, from a stranger's perspective, right? Theoretically, because this is like a random person, technically, not just like family, who's like, oh yeah, your golden child, your family.
Okay. If that's what it's going for, yeah, maybe not so ham-handed, man. Maybe skip the narration, because that was also not needed either. It's interesting to see a point of view that absolutely means nothing to the movie, and it doesn't mean anything to the movie. Like, if at least it ends with, like, the best-selling book version of it that the guy wrote from hearing the story out in the on some bookstore at the end of it, that would have added a little something, like the end of Zodiac, maybe. You know how the movie ends of Zodiac, the movie, spoiler alert for that movie, it ends with the writing of the Zodiac, right? Of what happened, who's the potential killer and all that, facts and shit. Like, that has like a little meta thing to it. If it adds that, at least it's trying to do something like that. But I don't think it succeeds. Did you like it? Oh, no.
No, I did not understand why we needed this.
Okay.
I was in the same boat, and I was just really puzzled.
Would you have wished, if they took those scenes out, if the movie just started like that, it would have been fine, right?
I think if you had the narration in the beginning, just to say, like, the Swede was this person like that, and without having to show that he was this all-star everything, right? And they just kind of explained that, and then went with it. The movie would have been better.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep the narration in, and you never have to show the author, technically the person narrating it, until the very end.
I also I have this big problem with it because we're not going to cover spoilers, but the movie we're talking about. But it also kind of sees it tells you that the Swede is going to die in the movie because he's dead by the time, and it's supposed to be a big impact.
Yes,
because that's
but
the reason
they don't
the story
tell you,
is told.
They kind of lead you to think that his death is very tragic, but also almost like in a murderish way.
See, the way it made it seem when he was telling me that, his brother died, you don't know that the Swede died, was like, this happened years ago, you should have known by now. Whereas in fact, it was literally taking
place just the recent.
Right.
Yeah, like that then and there, like a week ago, however long it takes to bury somebody.
Yeah. Right, yeah, they did imply that. I guess I missed that time.
It did feel thing. Like you
it
did
very
miss
short.
That. I agree
like,
with
yeah,
Luke.
I mean, you were gone, you were out of the country for how many years, and you don't know? So I'm like, was this like a tragic early death?
Right, right. Yeah, that's why I was looking for throughout the whole movie, like, and it kind of distracted me from, because don't do that if you're going to, if you don't want to leave.
Right. Well, that's why the beginning is just so weird. It's just not, shouldn't be there.
If it came up as a surprise or as a more natural progression of after you see all this tragedy happen to the man, I mean, psychologically speaking, like, then it would have been much more, you would have felt that tragedy more. At least I would have, if they didn't do this whole intro thing. I don't know. I assume you guys feel similarly.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think it demeans, it lessens his actual tragedy. I don't care how the book is. Maybe the writing in the book clearly was maybe it was not much better. Clearly the prose maybe works better. I don't know what. Maybe I'll read the book. I'm actually kind of interested in reading it because I like the weather on the ground stuff myself. It's kind of fun stuff for me. All right. Any other questions?
Speaking of the weather on the ground thing, I thought of what's it called? Homer's mom from The Simpsons.
Oh, right.
Right. That's
first
exactly
thing
what
first
it is.
First thing that popped in my head.
Exactly. Mine is all the raping that happens.
Right, like, exactly. Sure.
I assume.
Right, I assume. Yeah, well, she looked a lot better.
She did.
Than the, yeah. Anyways. Okay, overall, what did you guys think, I guess, acting-wise? What do we feel here? Because...
Right, it's prone to be a kind of movie that's like a powerhouse acting kind of movie.
Sure.
Showcase.
And
I think the acting was just like there. I didn't see like any peaks or anything. Like nothing was like spectacular. I was like, holy fuck, nominate him.
Right.
Or it was just kind of just like a flat line going through and through. Mine is like stuttering. That was kind of impressive.
But is it a good thing? Was it a good flat line? Was it a good like above average? Or
I was about to ask something like that.
It's like your average flat line.
Oh, it, so you just think like suck? So? You basically think it they just they did okay
because I think what makes a great performance or a group of performances in a movie stand out is not to be flashy. Also, like we don't want one scene like in Spotlight last year. You know, we all could have been anyone. Is it like 50 times?
Oh my god, I saw that scene immediately.
Like 50,000 times, I saw that fucking scene before I even saw the movie, at the Oscars, right? So, like, maybe it's better that it doesn't have that scene. If the whole movie requests you to be the kind of arguing that just talks like you and I are talking, Ralph, or like the kind of yelling that isn't yelling, or the kind of tragedy that's more inward, and they do a great job at that, but it's not flashy. That's what I was going to ask Luke, if that's what you meant by flatline, but you think it's more like mediocre style, right? You think it was just there,
just average?
No. See, mediocre would put it below the average. It was exactly it got the job done. Mm-hmm. It didn't suck. It wasn't great. It was just went through.
See, I thought it was good to great in some of them.
What's funny is I like how you progressed it with your hand notions that nobody can see, which was like, it didn't suck is all the way up top. And then it's like, it's not so great is a little bit below. And I'm like, where are you going with this? It was really confusing.
Strange curve.
And then average is right below all that.
Don't see his spreadsheets on how he curved.
He just had his flipped upside down.
Yep.
Yeah. I asked because I thought there was some moments where I did see some good acting.
The stuttering was
really good acting.
Stuttering was good. I guess I didn't pay too much attention other than the fact that she stuttered. But like nothing beyond that. Sure. I'm like, well, what a good stutterer. I never stuttered before in that, not you know, like that.
Like right now?
Like right now, yeah.
Yeah. I thought Ewan McGregor's was maybe like scene or two where I thought he was like, oh, that felt really...
That's funny because I thought that too, but I also thought a scene or two he was a little too much.
Yeah.
It seems like he's struggling with the American accent because he's in British.
A little bit. I just felt like he was too uppity in some of the scenes where he shouldn't have been. Or like he sounded too like...
I think he's gesticulating, sorry, sometimes a little too much too when he's trying to explain himself to his wife sometimes, to his daughter sometimes, so to his workers. Yeah. So I guess there's some nits and picks there for his character, but overall he sold it to me.
Yeah, he sold it to me too. Overall I can see where Luke is going, where like he's average, right? But but there was flourishes for me. There wasn't just, and you know, there was a little bit under as well. It didn't just stay steady for me.
Yeah. I also like Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
I wish she had more to do.
I unfortunately think Jennifer Connelly's just felt so like, ugh.
I feel like she's done this before too.
That's the problem. I think I felt she's done this movie before.
Combination of
characters. Or maybe that role, right? Yeah. It just felt like it was just like
it's kind of like A Beautiful Mind with Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, it was just weird. And I
House of the Sand or whatever.
It felt done already, right? I don't know if you felt the same way.
Hmm.
With at least with her, and she does a great, dead face, I guess you can call it, where she's right. But at the same time, it's just like she gives no fucks in the world face. She definitely does do that. But I just felt like we didn't see enough of her. And when we did, like, and I'm pretty sure Luke is going with the enough of like not seeing her enough naked. You say that about every girl that's like
that's
not
true.
Naked or naked in the movies.
That's true. And fix your dress, Luke. Remember that scene in the car scene?
That was just creepy.
That wasn't... Okay, I want to talk about that scene, too.
Yeah, I don't know. See,
fix your dress!
I didn't see a trailer for this movie.
Me either, yeah. That's what the movie's going to be about. Like, oh, fuck.
That's what I thought, too.
Fuck his daughter. Like, where is this going?
Or if not, that the daughter was going to continue to pursue it.
And he's going to have to, like...
Yeah.
But, and then his retaliation was also extreme. Like, he makes fun of her. In addition to stopping her from kiss me the way you kiss mom speech or thing. Come on, he was basically.
Did you find that really out of place?
Yeah.
I felt that was kind of uncomfortable.
It wasn't out of place if you're trying to say that Ewan McGregor's character, Mr. Swede, hasn't had these thoughts before.
Yeah.
Because I think it means that he has had these thoughts before. Like, he thinks his girl is pretty. I know she's like 10 in the movie, at this time in the movie. And he clearly noticed the dress, the strap, when she was asking.
Right.
Like before he knows it.
Because they look at it, yeah.
He looks at it. The camera like focuses in for two seconds. So his reaction is to make fun of her and like do the crazier versions of that, right?
Sure.
So I think that leads us to believe that he has thought of it before and he is overcompensating on the negativity of that. But it doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
I don't think.
Oh, God, well, I hope you never thought of that before. That's just creepy.
That's what the movie... I mean, if they're trying to say that that's not what he was going through, then they fucked up that scene.
I just felt like that scene... I kind of felt it believable where he would mock her. Well, not in the moment, but a little bit after, just because, like, he was a jock. Like, how much of a dick was he not as a... Like, I mean, because most jocks are dicks to people, right?
Right.
Or at least in those times, right? You look because you're the one revered by everybody.
But he called me Skip that one time.
Right, exactly. So, I don't know. I just felt like it was something that he would do, or his past, you know, something like that would come out.
Mm-hmm.
But I have an interesting... This is an interesting plot one, which is the whole psychiatrist daughter thing, where they bring it up where, like, oh, maybe your daughter feels she has a stutter not because... You know,
because of the development thing, but because of the
pressure and the mom and the dad. Well,
did you feel that at all?
No.
No.
Like,
I felt like she was
none of that
like,
was given.
Did you even believe it?
No.
That kills me in this movie.
This is got the heck job.
That kills me because it literally sounds like she's the one who's talking out of her ass.
Right.
Right. And she's the one who's jealous about this girl who's super nice looking. And why is she in my town? Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I felt like it was Inception. She's implanting the ideas.
Right. But the girl's not there.
She didn't seem very devious. She just seemed like...
I'm not devious, but she sounded like she disliked her for being this beauty queen. You know, for her being a beauty
queen. Yeah, she was being very personal.
She got her psychology degree from Clown College. She was horrible.
Clown College? Okay. That's a good place to get baskets. Watch that show. Okay. Let's go back a little bit to that scene in the truck. With the daughter, with the 10-year-old version and the whole sex thing.
You really love that scene.
Undertone. No, I think, now that I'm thinking about it now, in the moment, I think it might be more important because does that scene give way throughout the whole relationship of the father-daughter after that? Like, does it make sense? Like, can you see, and I'm curious, now I really want to read the book to see how it's shown there, because I can imagine a more descriptive, head voice of a character would be much better for this. Maybe that's why it's hard to adapt this book. Mary, what's her name? The girl?
Mary? Oh, I forgot.
Mary's the girl's name, I think. Whatever.
Mary is the girl's name, yeah?
Is the girl's name. Mary?
Mary.
Yeah. Has
as in like a merry-go-round.
Oh, Mary?
Yeah, not Mary.
Fucking white people.
As in like I'm going to marry you, but Mary.
Mary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the going Mary.
But not the religious Mary.
Right, exactly. It's Guadalupe. Just go with it. No, sorry.
Jesus, so many fucking Marys and Marys
Jesus
and Pippins.
Is right.
That's right. So I think here's my thoughts on it. I think that we're supposed to see that scene as like the pivotal point in how they're going to treat each other in the future for the relationship. He's always going to overcompensate and make her believe that like he's going to keep a little bit of distance when he probably shouldn't have. He should be a father or a more adept father than it is something creepy. I'm not saying anything creepy here. I think it's
are you
just
trying to say fathers dick your daughters?
It opens
you sick
up.
Fuck.
It opens
sick
up.
Fuck.
The,
sick fuck.
Shut up. It opens up the gate to have like this weird distance between them. So, and I can imagine
for the first
that
time.
Little girl, like when she grows up to be an anarchist cookbook writer, that she probably twists that memory into something worse than it is. And I'm really curious to see what the book would take it because you can sometimes remember things from childhood and they're completely wrong. You just think that that's how they happened, and you get kernels of the truth right,
right,
but you had the whole situation wrong. In reality, your dad wasn't mad at you that day. It was something completely different. He was smiling. You just thought he was angry for some reason, and right. You just got that wrong. And you just thought he was always pissed off about that one thing you did.
Right.
You know, and this could be something like that. And the movie completely fails to put
right,
this out
because
there,
they never
the
mention it or...
Yeah, of course. And it doesn't go anywhere.
Exactly.
All it is some scene that's very crazy for a moment, but doesn't go anywhere. So I think that might be a big failing of the movie, and which is why probably is getting such a low rating. But also, I shouldn't get that low of a rating, I don't think, because there's some interesting stuff going on.
Well, what works great for me for the character development for Mary is when she sees the what's it called, the Hindu, the Buddhist monk burn himself.
Right? Oh yeah, that was
and
also another
that's
one.
A great.
That was
a,
very impactful.
That's
for
a very impactful
people.
Scene for. I mean, for and especially we're coming in a time where we're all at peace. She's lived wholesome her whole life. She's never had to
farm with cows.
Right, a farm with cows. Exactly. She's never seen anything radical like that. And to see something like that, because of, and then to mean. Oh no! Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, and to mean, like, what it meant, what he did, and why he did it.
Right.
Right. And then for her to like, oh my God, I totally agree with this guy, and like, I should be doing something as radical.
Because, can you believe that, though?
Yeah, I can believe
obviously,
that.
Obviously, I've seen that footage, by the way, but I wasn't there when the footage happened. I was an embryo then. I wasn't sure. Born. Believe it or not, I wasn't born. I wasn't born. Shut up. Anyway, shut the... Anyway. But if you imagine, can you imagine yourself growing up? You're 9 years old, Luke. You're watching the television, and you see this. And you see the impact of it. You see your parents freaking out about turning it off and all that. Can you see yourself, I'm not saying go exactly how Mary went down her route of political craziness, but can you see yourself having such an impact that it'll haunt you or keep you on a certain track in life? Because the movie's really saying that.
Mind you, your whole life has been wholesome. You've never seen anything like that.
Well, you just got off the boat from Poland, so you're fine. You just got back. You just got off.
So you just went through all that horrors that your family lived
in. No, it's a nice boat. It's a nice boat. It's plenty of onions. So
potatoes. Onions.
Wait, I don't know. It's onion night. I was thinking Game of Thrones.
Onion night.
Yeah, the onion. You remember?
I get it. But
yeah,
it's just
you fucking get it.
Yeah.
Shut up, Oscar.
No, and all joking aside, can you see that though?
No, not really. I'm not really fazed by a lot of stuff I saw.
That's the problem.
Because we're millennials and we're desensitized with every fucking thing. I mean, we're not really millennials.
Desensitized. But between. Whatever.
I hate that word. It's weird to say. Do you believe it, Ralph?
I do. I can find it believable
for her to be impacted.
For her to be impacted, and she's like at that right, perfect time where now the media is portraying all of these radical things going on, and she meets friends. She's easily influenced because she wants to make friends easily because of her stutter problem, you know, and stuff like that. So I do believe where it leads to. Now,
yeah,
it is a believable thing for me, and that's why I like the character development in this part for Mary specifically.
Yeah, Mary.
Yeah, I'm just also surprised that the Swede is like this really cool acting dad, like more of a friend than a dad almost, right? And that's what kind of it feels like. And that's
again, maybe going with the overcompensating.
Oh yeah, sure. But it also feels like usually a strong leash, like especially back in those days.
So it seems like there's two. We're supposed to get that two events in her childhood shaped her for the most part into some of the decisions that she'll do eventually, right. Which are the scene in the truck with her dad, and which is very personal and only family, obviously. We all have that. And the second one's being something more world-driven, something political, something that everyone's seeing, like the JFK assassination, the moon landing, or in this case, the Vietnamese guy, Monk, burning himself alive. There are things that we all know, can relate to, and have seen, or have heard about, or can archive. And those are the two things. One is worldwide, one is very personal. Clearly, the book or the movie is trying to say something with that. I'm not 100% what it is, but we know it leads to the political, you know, bomb maker that she becomes.
Right.
Do we think that the movie does enough of that? Because I'm getting this now, but I didn't get it while I was watching it in the immediacy of watching the movie. I didn't get it right away. I'm getting this kind of now. I saw this movie today, so I got it a few hours ago. Do you guys believe that in the movie, that the movie successfully did that for you? If it did it at all, is there a different opinion on this?
Unfortunately, I can agree with you with the fact that that one thing does shape her and like where it leads to, but I just don't see that other the first scene with her and the father. Mm-hmm. It just for the reason of,
I think we all agree that one's a fail.
It just feels like it's a failure. At least it just feels like it's put in there, and I don't really understand like. There's no really big connection to it, mm-hmm. or maybe nothing that's connected to it. I don't know if maybe there's supposed to be, and I'm just not connecting the dots.
Luke, can you see what my point of view is on this?
Okay, so the only way I could, the whole car scene, the only thing I could link that to later on in the movie is the hotel scene.
Which one? There's a lot of hotel scenes.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
Where he's being seduced.
Oh, God.
And the, you know, the girl's like, oh, you know, she does that fake stutter thing. Mm-hmm. And for a second, is that her? Did she just change so radically? Or?
Wait, what does that scene do for you again?
Well, that whole incest thing that was kind of like, That might have kind of linked to that, but that was about it.
Oh, that could be a possible evidence. Well, it was very vague. You're right, if it is true, very subtle. Yeah, because clearly this girl, who is not on her orders, but whatever, knows Mary so well that Mary probably told her about this memory about the father in the truck, has it fucked up and thinking that it was something incestual, and then knows the stuttering, of course, knows the... And she doesn't stutter anymore, by the way. I don't know when she stopped doing it, but whatever. And knows her so well to get the dad hooked in the way she did, right?
Right.
So that's interesting. I didn't think of that.
I didn't think of it either.
Thank you, Luke.
There is kind of...
But it's way too subtle, though.
It is.
Wicked subtle.
Right. But the
real question is, guys, 40 minutes later...
If you were in this situation, would you have fucked her?
You would have.
Wait, you fucked that girl in the hotel?
Yeah. She was pretty suspicious.
I mean, I have a wife? No.
I have Jennifer Connelly? No.
60s.
No. If I'm like... If she's like...
Ain't no HIV.
Cheating with the architect, then yeah. I'll bang her immediately. But no, I mean...
The only AIDS you got was first aid.
I'm sorry, one thing I did get is that I'm so glad... I mean, obviously, there's no believable way this movie could have sold me on Sweet fucking this girl.
Yeah, neither. He's too much of a moral character.
No, it's just like he is thinking about his daughter. It's just so wrong. Exactly. Wrong. The way he has $10,000 in small bills in one hand, you know, like it's not going to happen. It would have been ridiculous.
But he's the pillar of community, and she wanted his pillar.
I believe Iron Man shooting himself in the face with his blaster more than I believe this guy fucking this girl.
I think Jarvis would have prevented that.
Jarvis? Jarvis is gone. He is now...
Vision.
Thank you. I was going to say Ultron. Like, that's not it.
Nope. Sort of.
Vision.
Vision.
Okay.
So what do we think of the stuff? So we're talking a lot of... We're still kind of stuck on the first half of the movie.
Yeah, you want to stop and go forward?
No. Because they imply the whole thing. So we spent so much time in the first half of the movie, a good chunk anyway, up to her disappearance or running away. Do we think it's valid for the second half where it gets a little crazier?
I didn't care for the second half.
Why didn't you care about the second half?
I felt like... I don't know, like everything was established in the beginning, and then the whole radicalism and then the explosion. It was such like a peak, and then after that, it was kind of just tapered off. It was just like, okay, small little things here and there, but like, I don't know. I lost like my, like the character
focus?
That he was. Mm-hmm. Like he kind of like became something else, and it all got weird.
Obsessed with the fact that his child was missing?
Not even obsessed, but like I hated like the wife too. Ugh.
Right, just dismiss the fact that she even had a child.
She's so skinny. So you're saying maybe that the first half didn't do a good job of setting you up for the second half?
No, I thought the first half was good, and the second half just couldn't follow suit.
Okay, Raph?
I see where he's going. I just think the tone changes. Like, where does the half begin, I guess, after...
I would say once she disappears.
When she disappears?
Because she spent so much time.
Yeah.
And the whole breakdown with the wife has to happen first, and her recovery.
Right, right, right.
And then the lead, the fake lead.
Right, and then the stuff going on in the office also with the black stuff.
Although Crazy Eyes was in the show, in the movie.
Not being crazy.
She looked really normal.
From Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
She's the office manager, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or secretary, maybe?
Yeah.
I can tell.
One of the two.
Yeah, she had a desk right next to his office, so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I thought that was her. I just... Don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I just felt like the tone changes and it starts doing a lot. They start doing way more than they need to, or a lot of things happen. And I get like the world is changing, right? And like specifically.
And it is changing. Sometimes we'll get like snippets like, oh, Watergate just happened, you know?
Right, exactly. And then you hear everybody's opinion on it. And then his wife is cheating on him and a bunch of other things are happening,
mm-hmm.
Which I totally saw that coming right away.
A mile away.
I mean, yeah. I just think a lot of things happen that kind of like don't necessarily need. I don't know why are they explained, especially if we're being told a story. This is where it gets really confusing. Like we're being told a story, but like,
that's but at the same, thing. But go ahead.
But at the same time, it's like as if the Swede is telling the story because only the Swede can tell the story because
only the Swede can.
Right,
can know
I don't think the Swede's gonna tell his brother. So yeah, my daughter wanted me to like fuck her.
Yeah. His brother also looked like a guy who could give a shit about anything his brother right. ever did.
He's a pretty shit. Looks like he's a shitty doctor too.
He's a worse doctor.
Your patients are dying. He fuck him. I'm right. going to no, smoke.
Like the nurse was like, "Go." He tells the nurse, "Go jump off a bridge. I don't care about you. Leave me." I'm like, "Whoa!"
I forgot that part. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's not good. Yeah, that's another thing that kind of breaks the not in a good way. That breaks the whole idea of being narrated to. Like someone's telling the story of this thing, that's... and we happen to catch it. No. This is just for us. And we're just taking liberties on how we're going to show it, and it doesn't. It's not consistent into the way the movie's trying to say tell a story.
Like you forget there's a narrator fucks that up. Until after.
Actually, the more I think about this movie, the more I understand those criticisms, though.
Actually, the other one part I hate was so you're getting this whole story. All of a sudden, there's like a break in the story, and he's on his high school stairs. Oh yeah, say bye. Thanks for your time. It's like. Where the hell were you? Who's telling you the story if you're like in a completely other part of the building?
I also feel that some stuff is incomplete. Like I understand the need maybe for at least in the book probably to take the sweet point of view all the time.
Yeah.
When I think a little bit of Mary and a little bit more of the wife would have given us a much better three-dimensional understanding of this family.
Right, exactly.
It is if you're trying to show a successful breakdown of a family unit and you're trying to only show it through one person's perspective, it's almost always a failure. And I know that the one-person perspective, in this case, Swede, is supposed to be the all-American hero type and also the most sane one. He doesn't have the breakdown the way we're supposed to understand anyway.
Right.
And when he's not the
he
one...
He has a strong as will, yeah.
And he doesn't run away. He has a strong as will. Definitely, he's obsessed. So, yeah, even though he is the most stable, doesn't mean he can carry his family's tragedy himself.
Right.
And I think a big fault of the movie might be that. And I'm curious about the book, but I shouldn't... We have reference a book that I've never read, even if I had read, I would try not to reference as much as I can because the movie should stand on its own. I would have definitely cut those beginning parts off for sure.
Yeah, I just, like I said, the movie's inconsistent with what it wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you forget there's a narrator at one point, and then you're like, oh, that's right, because it takes you out of the movie.
Yeah, true.
So
I like those actors. Darius Rutan is a good actor.
So do I. I don't hate him either. Let's talk about the ending. Let's talk about closer to the ending, and I guess Mary's. Life.
Mary's journey, honestly, Mary's when journey. She escaped. Yeah,
yeah. So she did do all the bombings, right?
Two, I think she said.
Well, she did the two bombings. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but she did it herself. She didn't even. Her group of friends were probably more pussies than she ever was.
I really thought she was gonna chicken out.
So did I.
Yeah.
And she gets out.
She got really annoying. I wanted to slap her.
Oh, yeah. So fucking.
I would have slapped really her. Annoying,
yeah. And we get to the point where she leaves, and we don't see her until she's. What is she? What does she become?
Do you a faceless man?
No. It's an actual thing. It's an actual thing.
Yeah, she mentions it, and I forget the religion
it's
or
like
the
a super
cult.
Hippie.
No, not even. It's not like even. It's like a foregoing of everything.
It's,
yeah, like
it's a foregoing of
a value that keeps you basically a ghost. Like the
yeah, it's like yeah. You cherish all life, no matter what.
Right, cherish all honesty.
Right,
right. That's what she answers every question he asks.
Exactly.
At that point, like
right.
In the good time.
That's why she walks lightly. She, you know, she doesn't never be.
She doesn't even want to, yeah, because that would harm the water. She doesn't want to step on, like, an insect.
Right, that's why she walks lightly and stuff like that.
So she has a thing over her face so not to ruin the air.
Yeah.
It's like, bitch, your smell ruins the air.
So, yeah, things that, like, she becomes, like, way off the board, I guess.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, do you guys find that believable that she got there?
I do feel like an extreme life like hers, an extreme reaction to her, what got her there, being a political activist and with the underground shit, I do believe that requires probably an extreme reaction.
Well, I think her story and the way it tells her, or the way she says it, what happens to her and everything, I find that completely believable where she got there.
What was she saying about that? What happened to her after the bombings?
After the bombings, the doctor...
The psychiatrist college.
helps her
and gets her to the underground. Mm-hmm. That she goes to Chicago or something like that. She gets out of the city.
Right.
And then right when she gets out of the city, she gets whatever they. She gets raped.
Right. By the same people? Is that my understanding?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
My understanding is yes. If not, she just gets left somewhere and she gets raped or something.
Okay.
She gets raped and she just kind of gets tossed around those people or whatever those type of people, mm-hmm. and she lives in that world that she thought she wanted to be in, but she obviously.
Right,
they're just as bad as everybody else who doesn't give a shit about the world.
As a rich who are taking
right, exactly. And then she finally makes it to like all the way to the
back
to like
to
LA.
Newark.
No, she makes it all the way to like LA, like or something like that, all the way down there. And then she finally makes it back to New York, just like recently.
Right.
Because she kept moving for a while. Because she basically was forced to live in those types because she was hiding, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they took advantage of her because
she was wanted and she couldn't go to the cops.
Exactly.
Anyway. Yep. All that stuff.
And okay. then her radical thing was like, well, no one can do anything. I'm just going to do everything on my own, which is I'm never going to harm anything and go to that extreme that she did go.
How do you guys feel about that? Knowing that stuff? Knowing how it was a lot worse than we think?
I mean, it was pretty shitty. Like, I felt really bad for her. But I also felt like, I never thought she would take, I didn't think she was pressured, overall, like, by her friends. Like, oh, she was pressured to do these things. Mm-hmm. I just assumed that she chickened out, like you said.
Right.
And she never did it because why would she harm life? But she did harm. She killed four people altogether.
Yeah, four people.
So, like, that's crazy. Like,
mm-hmm.
Maybe she didn't mean to, but she did it. Right? It happened. So, especially with the first guy. I don't think she meant to kill that first guy.
Right.
Right.
Especially. She didn't expect to be in there that early.
That early, exactly, yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, I hated that scene where they were like, they went to the family to apologize, and that mom and the son was there. Oh.
Not the reaction I expected, though.
Yeah, I didn't care for that scene at all.
Well, it just felt like a very...
It's like, we're okay, we're still a family.
Right.
It's like, listen, shut up.
Yeah, yeah, it was over the top.
You should have been in the post office.
Jesus. Wow.
No, it did feel over the top, and it did also feel... It unfortunately felt scripted, that scene. And it just felt...
Yeah, a little bit.
It just felt like...
Wait, movies are scripted?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it just felt like as in... I didn't find it believable that a person in mourning would react like that. And I get everybody reacts differently. Not everybody has to scream, yell, cry, everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it just felt like she was very foreboding or forgiving right away. So, I don't know. Yep. Or, sort of.
It was like a vengeful forgiveness.
Right, it was.
So, I'll forgive you because you're like,
it was like cursing them. It was like cursing them.
Yeah.
Some would argue that's what it was.
It's like a curse, like those Cubs.
Broken. World Series champs.
You had to say something, didn't you?
Once in a century.
Okay, let's talk about the funeral.
Yeah, oh, God, that was another piss-off moment.
Why?
It sucked!
Why?
Okay, so you get this funeral, so you have this mysterious daughter, and because all the heartache and all the stuff it caused him, so he finally just, like, died and shit.
I just think he died of age.
I think that the big...
Obviously, it weighed on the heavy on him.
One of the biggest missteps is that they don't show...
Right. Yeah. So...
Like, we're talking about the main actor here, and we skip his, like, the last years of his life.
Right. We see that he goes back to that building nonstop just to, you know, see if she ever comes out or, you know, gets a glimpse of her. But then it's like, he passes, we're at the funeral, okay, they say goodbye, whatever. And all of a sudden, she fucking walks out like a normal human being, looking okay, like she showered, you know. She's no longer a super hippie.
Well, I think she did it out of respect for her father, who was always there for her, and I think she was showing that she'd be there for him in this moment.
But it's like she just showed up, and I was like, that's it. We're done with the movie.
I feel like there's a lack of responsibility going on in the movie, not just at the ending, but throughout. And the ending kind of like makes a neon sign version of that, where it's very punctuated. And I feel robbed of something
right.
that the movie didn't show me or told me or gave me retribution
so
for.
So there's like a lack of closure.
No, lack of catharsis, which could be the same thing, but also not exactly.
So is this the movie's fault or is this the story's fault? Is it the story? I mean, obviously.
Like I said, man.
It's an adapted story, right?
Even if it's in the novel, you have to rewrite it to make it better. What am I going to say?
Yeah, I get keeping things true right. as much as possible, but at the same time, like, I mean, what is it meant to? I know I get some things are supposed to be left open, but even at that end in the book, you don't just get and she walked up to the thing and
it
everyone
like
peered
a,
at her.
This might be another.
You would get like someone's perspective, you know?
Yeah,
we're not getting.
I'm not sure how much this I can fault the screenwriter specifically or Ewan McGregor as a director. He clearly was passionate about this book and about making this his first movie. He's
right.
a famous actor. He's doing his first movie. Maybe some of this could be Jack, attacked on as first director's mistakes movie. Like he probably knows now not to do that shit.
Sure.
And I hope he does anyway. But yeah, that didn't inspire much. Didn't inspire much.
Yeah.
So, I agree. The ending was kind of lackluster for that. I mean, it was the vision of it was cool. Like her walking, the people staring. Yeah. Clearly, all the main actors were watching. It's almost like a reunion. Strange. and we never see her face, which is fine. We don't need to see her face.
You kind of get like a side view, right?
That's a little bit. You get her nose, but that's it. You don't really see her eyes or anything.
Right.
And that's it, you know. And
you
that's
see,
a cool
she's not
image.
Wearing a veil, I think.
But it's still. Oh, God, no.
She's harming the ear.
She's Lydia from Beetlejuice. So, like, it looked cool, but it wasn't very serviceable.
Right. Overall, I guess, last notes real quick. Acting-wise, like I said earlier, but I didn't give him much credit for Dakota Fanning. I did like her stuttering. She did a great job.
She did.
When she was supposed to be, like, 16 or and rebellious or 18 or whatever. And then the very end, she felt, I mean, it looked like, and especially that one moment when she slips up and she stutters just very slightly, even though her stutter's gone.
Yeah.
Because she does want to go back. But, you know, because she gives that quick second thought of, like, I would like to go back to my life with you. Because, yes, I would love to everything be hunky-dory, right? And that's a pretty powerful scene when he's there with her that I just completely forgot to mention when we were talking about it.
Which one?
Where he's talking to her for, I think, the second time. And
And
he's like, why don't you come back with me? And then that's when she like does a quick stutter, like, and then she never leaves. And then you just get the quick wrap up ending.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I did like those two actors. They're acting on that. Everybody else acted pretty good. Also, just unfortunately for what's her name, I told you, she just it's like a familiar role for her. Sadly.
Yeah, Jennifer Connelly. Yeah. I think that's the actor we've seen the most on Ewan McGregor. Probably the same. We've seen all their movies probably.
Yeah.
Look, any last thoughts?
Nope.
You just want to get out of here, don't you?
Nope. I want to go to the good movie.
Wait, what's the next one? Oh, yeah, Cafe Society. That's right. Speaking of which, I have no last thoughts, by the way. I reset everything. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start reviewing our last film of the evening, which is Woody Allen's Cafe Society. Stay with us.
I don't think that's a very good idea, actually.
Yep.
I'm seeing someone.
Oh, I did. What's he like?
Doug is a journalist.
Oh, I just thought since you had so much free time on your hands.
He travels a lot. And I really like spending my time with you. I hope that's okay. You know, you're very sweet. Have you heard that before? You have this deer in the headlights quality.
Thank you. Well, if I was your boyfriend, I would not travel. Or if I did, I would take you with me. I hope he knows how to kiss you and all the rest.
In the 1930s, a young Bronx native moves to Hollywood, where he falls in love with the secretary of his powerful uncle, an agent to the stars. After returning to New York, he is swept up in the vibrant world of high society, nightclub life.
Nice.
That is Cafe Society, the latest movie written and directed by Woody Allen. Not starring Woody Allen, but sort of starring Woody Allen as a narrator. This movie, it's a big cast, guys.
It's always a big cast.
Of course, it's fucking, you know, Woody Allen. Jesse Eisenberg as Bobby. Kristen Stewart as Vonnie, with a V, not a B. Steve Carell as Phil Stern. Blake Lively, which I thought it was Blake Lively.
Lively.
As Veronica. And then we have a bunch more people that we can bring up to it. We'll bring up later.
Who plays his brother? He's the gangster brother. I forget his name. He was in House of Cards, and he was Ant-Man, or in Ant-Man.
Corey Stoll?
Corey Stoll. That's right.
Stoll?
Stoll.
Stoll?
In that show, The Strain.
House of Cards as well?
Yeah. The Strain, House of Cards, yeah. Ant-Man. Yeah. He's in a bunch of things.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, he was also in Salt.
Was he? I haven't seen Salt in forever.
Yeah.
He was. Cool. I remember now.
That movie sells. All right, Cafe Society. Ralph, you picked this film. Like I said, you picked this week's film. So,
there it goes.
That was awesome. And yet, and not at all.
Nope.
How do you feel about Woody Allen, dude?
I feel that Woody Allen is Woody Allen, and he still likes to do the same Woody Allen-ness.
It doesn't say how you feel about him.
How do I feel in general about the man?
No, his work, obviously.
A different story.
I don't care about the man.
Well, you asked, how do you feel about Woody Allen?
You know what I meant.
You mean, how do I feel about Woody Allen's work?
How would I, well, why would you say about, what? How do you feel about
Stranger?
There's
a lot of controversy to him, the
man. Yeah, but you don't know him.
So. Yeah, but.
We had lunch the other day.
Yeah, that's my line.
Anyways, I met him at the hotel where he plays jazz with his friends. I saw that documentary. And anyways, I like his work, most of it, not all of it, because not everybody makes a hit for everything.
And he makes a movie a year.
Exactly. Even since 1960 something. Even the great Martin Scorsese has some bad films. Yeah, but anyways. So I would say I lean more towards his earlier work than his later work.
That's 90% of Woody Allen people.
Exactly. So, fans. But I do like some of his later work. Not all of it, but some of it. I tend to, some of the movies just fly by me also. But I think that's Woody Allen in general. Woody Allen makes like one good movie and then three bad ones and then one like, it's like really great and then three bad ones and then really great and then like, it's like hit and miss. It's a weird.
There's some in betweens too.
Yeah, there is. But it's just, it's a lot of misses and then a lot of really, really big hits. So yeah, that's how I feel. Why? What do you feel?
I feel very similarly. I don't, I would say, I like half his films. Half of those I love. So 25% of his shit I love.
Yeah.
That's basically the nutshell.
That's a good
But half his films are kind of forgettable and I wouldn't watch again.
Right, yeah.
Like I said, he does have, he's like almost like an episodic guy.
They're interesting artworks too though, all together.
Yeah. And he's done the same, he's basically done the same three movies.
Yeah, I guess you could
over
say that.
And over again with slight changes, different casts, different like places in the world,
but always coming back to New York somewhere and something.
Right, he'll do. I mean, Vicky Garcia de Barcelona is really good.
Yeah, that was a really good.
And then he'll do Scoop.
Yeah,
and
before Scoop, he had Match Point.
And he did Match Point before.
And after Scoop, he had Cassandra's Dream,
which was okay. It was okay. It wasn't that great.
Fuck you, it was great.
Never saw it.
No, you should see it. It's good.
I'll watch it.
It's really good.
It starts Harry McGregor, I think.
Good for them.
Right?
No, but I know it's the Colin Farrell.
I know that, yeah.
Jennifer Colin?
No.
Okay.
Luke, how are you on The Man, Woody Allen?
I'm looking at his... So, after Match Point and Cassandra's Dream, I didn't see anything until Midnight in Paris, and that one I really enjoyed. Really like it.
Me too.
After that, it was pretty much, I didn't see anything until Magic in the Moonlight, which I did not care for at all.
I haven't seen that either.
Yeah, don't bother. It's a dud. But this one, yeah, it's good.
I didn't ask you about this movie yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it's like, he's got his...
Have you seen his classics, though? Like Bananas or...
No.
Never seen Bananas.
Didn't see Bananas.
Oh, man, watch that. It's awesome. He, like, he has...
I saw Annie Hall.
Oh, yeah.
You should have.
Manhattan?
Probably. You showed me a couple of them, so I don't remember.
Yeah, some of his 90s stuff works really well. Mighty Aphrodite, I liked. I really love Sweet and Lowdown. Love that movie.
I feel like I'm very much...
He's done a lot of movies. How many movies has he done?
A lot.
He has a show, too, like on Amazon.
What's the show?
I forget the name of it, but it's...
I feel your lack of exposure of exposing me to Woody Allen is really affecting me.
Wow.
Way to blame me.
Right. Yep. There he goes.
Blame yourself, you Neanderthal. So now let's get to Cafe Society.
Yeah, let's get to Cafe Society. I will start off the last one, so Luke can start off this one.
Nice. Oh, by all means, you feel free to express your
feelings. Just let me know what you thought of the movie.
I really, really liked it. I thought it was great.
Great. I'm glad you liked it. Anything else you want to add before?
No.
Just a quick thing?
It was great. I really liked
Perfect.
It.
I'll go last. Oscar.
It was there. This movie's kind of bland. I would say it's better than Jack Reacher because of...
For comparing?
Just, of these movies that we're reviewing. Definitely sure. A Pastor I like more. It was more interesting. I think it showed nothing that I haven't seen it before out of Woody Allen or other movies. And I didn't think I found it very interesting with the narration. I don't think I found it very interesting of the very silly duality of these people, like, fucking around like dance partners or trying to do that. And then failing. I didn't find any of it kind of inspiring. I just found it like a movie I had to see. Kind of like that. Sorry, didn't like Woody Allen and this one.
No, I'm more leaning towards you, Oscar, I guess, than Luke. Yeah, I found that it was just it was a Woody Allen movie. It felt very... I hit a lot of Woody Allen notes. And I think the worst thing about this movie is that I felt that Jesse Eisenberg had to act like Woody Allen would have acted in his movies.
I don't think he did. That was one of the good things I liked about it. But no, that's
I really like Jesse. Actually, Kristen Stewart, actually liked her for once.
I actually like
her. You should see her movies, guys.
I like Kristen Stewart a lot, actually.
Movie. American movie. Ultra. Really.
Yeah, I know. I still don't care better than that one. But this one.
It felt... I'm saying
I feel
me,
like I'm watching. I'm finally letting Twilight lift away from her.
Clouds of Sils Maria. Watch that one.
Okay.
For real.
Let me
I'm
see
just
it.
Saying for me, Jesse Eisenberg, it felt especially in the beginning, like he's, and I know Jesse Eisenberg is this character where he rambles on anyway. We see it in The Social Network.
And Luther in Batman v Superman.
Yeah, or Lex Luthor. I was like, Luthor? I'm like, he's that's a show. Sorry. And
Idris Elba. He's yeah. like the opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
He's literally the opposite.
Tall, big black
the guy
man.
Could crush him with his thumb. Yes.
Anyways, so I just felt like he was, it felt like a Woody Allen thing that he would do, but I also get that is Jesse Eisenberg's like natural stance.
I guess so. I guess I just saw that more than Woody Allen.
Sure, sure. But it just felt like it, especially with the narration of Woody Allen. You know? So, but overall, like I said, I do like what's her name in the acting. I just felt like there was nothing special, like you said, Oscar. It was overall just another.
I mean, I found
I guess another love story in Woody Allen.
Right, I found it interesting to see Woody Allen direct violence.
Right, but it's
violence.
A nice twist on it because in a normal love story, you know, people end up together, it's all happy. But here, it's.
Yeah, but that's only depending on the end. It's only on one scene. The whole setup for one
end. It's still them coming to terms of the decisions they had made, and when they come back into each other's lives.
No, it doesn't.
Yes,
they don't focus on that at all. They say it once in the movie, and the rest of the movie is them finding other loves or forget Kristen Stewart. We don't see her until she comes back. So it's like through the dude's perspective mainly.
Yeah,
and we see him move on. We don't see him pining. We see him talk about pining when he meets her, but that's not the same as pining for her. We don't see any struggle for the decision until they say each other's dreams, which is, I'd rather be shown than pining and wishing for each other than them telling themselves, trying to convince themselves so they can make out once or twice. I didn't find it very interesting, but you believed it.
Yes, I really enjoyed it. It stuck with me, so I was like, hey, this is actually, I felt more believable than any other thing that might be churned out, you know?
That more believable than what?
Like some typical, you know, romantic comedy, you know? This is like, hey, this is a real life. These are the real consequences, you know? If they had focused on Phil and Ivani, and that was a movie, and hey, they ended up together, right? That was it. But this is going, like, past that. This is going to the other person that she was in love with.
No, I mean, I see what you... It does do that. I just don't think it's interesting in the way they do it at all. And he's done it, like, the last five movies. Not five, but a few. What do you feel about that point?
No, I get Luke's point for sure. I understand it. I do agree that is a little bit of, it's different for sure. But it's also lackluster. Like Oscar says, it's a build up for one scene. Or what it feels like for one scene.
See, I felt this like along through the movie, like, even though it wasn't there, it's like, I felt like this is where it was going. Like I didn't think they were going to be together, but I know that they still like
when
loved
did you,
each
when,
other.
When did you feel that in the movie?
Yeah, I'm curious about this pinpoint because I'm not saying it wasn't obvious or otherwise
sure.
to me. I just didn't care.
Was it the moment that he realized that he told his uncle and the uncle was leaving? I mean, that's I can see where the moment it is for you, I guess. But is that the moment where
I don't know. I can't pinpoint a moment, but...
Sure. Maybe, well, around what time do you feel like that? Maybe not a specific scene or something, but maybe, mm-hmm. like, around when did you think that this is the kind of thing you're going to be into? It's just going to be a back-and-forth kind of thing.
Don't know.
Okay. No, I was just asking. Because you obviously...
Did you have an opinion one way or another while watching it? Or a guess?
As if
they were going to make it together or not, even though they were separated for that middle part.
Yeah, I felt like a match pointish thing going on where they it was just like, are we going to have, you know, we want to be together, but you're with this person and I'm and I'm with this person and we shouldn't do this, but they still do it anyway. But they go to the extremes of doing it, obviously, and then everything in between. And in this one, they're just like, no, we shouldn't, we don't, but we have good company. And we're really good friends, but we won't. Felt a little bit Harry Met Sally kind of vibe-ish. And I was just like, you guys should just fuck, because, like, might as well get it over with.
Yeah.
In between them when they had the relationships.
Yeah, I wish I cared. I didn't guess anything. Like, I would have been, I guess I was surprised by, I'm not surprised, but I didn't know where it was going to go. But also, like I said, I didn't even care to, like, make a guess for it. It seemed like it would have been obvious either way, because, like I said, nothing in the movie told me to give a shit about that. And also, the other subplot of the whole brother thing went nowhere to me, other than to show that Woody Allen can direct some violence. Which is strange. That's definitely strange because he never directs violence.
The whole family stuff was just kind of there, but it was just kind of fun.
Yeah, but they spent a lot of time on that.
It was
way too much time.
Well, especially the second half.
It's like in this movie, by my recollection, I'm not 100%. Maybe someone can look it up for me. The running time must have been barely there. Because did he have to add this whole plot just to make it 90 minutes? I don't know, assuming it is 90 minutes.
Yeah, 136.
Yeah. Like, if they take that stuff out, it's just basically a short film.
Yeah, it was probably like under an hour, maybe an hour.
They didn't need all that stuff. What was the point of it? The only thing that did for, what was the main character, Jesse Eisenberg's name in the movie? Bobby?
Bobby, yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that did for Bobby is give him a nightclub position.
Yeah, give him like a better social status.
Yeah, but you could have done that with one scene of a normal brother that has a nightclub than it is some crazy gangster.
Yeah, well, I think it shows the times that they were in.
But not every brother you have is going to be a gangster.
Yeah, but in order to probably get into that business, guess who you were dealing with?
No, I get where...
But what's the point then?
Well, I to be historically accurate?
I think
No.
It's definitely not accurate.
No, I think it's more to the point that he was always a lackey, right? He was always under somebody, right? Mm-hmm. And then at the end where he finally gets to take over, now he's his own boss. There is no, he doesn't answer to anybody else. He runs the business now, right? So there's a big stepping stone where he finally, like, even though he was already running the business, he was already doing basically everything for the nightclub. Now he's the actual owner for the nightclub, not his brother. And that's kind of like the same equal footing as where the uncle is, where they have like the same social status, technically. Like, instead of you working at a nightclub and being the manager, you're the owner, just like I own my own, you know, like I'm the owner for my own, what's called, agency.
Okay.
So I guess that's the difference. That's the only reason it's there for. Other than that, I agree with you. I don't see why, besides just to have
that's
it
a more reason there. Than I can think of. Yeah,
sure.
Than
sure.
I thought of.
Yeah. I don't know where else to bring. What were we?
Although I think I find it interesting that we have two movies this year that show prominently old Hollywood in the 40s and 50s. Which is Hail Caesar.
Yeah, Hail Caesar.
Oh, Hail Caesar. Yeah.
Did you find this a rom com? You brought up comedy.
Did you laugh? I didn't laugh once.
Okay. You might have chuckled.
I laughed at the part where the wife is bickering.
I mean, they do make fun. Like, if you get the references of all the old classic Hollywood types, like when they say, like, "Oh yeah, I can't wait to meet Judy Garland." Yeah, you're gonna like that little kid, you know, because she starts off as a kid actress before she becomes big. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna meet Judy Garland. It's gonna be fun. Like, I guess if you get that stuff, you'll get chuckles or laughter out of it. Especially when you joke around, like, "I'm about to meet XYZ," and if you get it, I got some of them, but not all of them.
More romantic movies fall more like a more dramatic thing. This was more lighthearted.
It's just romance.
Yeah, it was romance.
Just romance.
One scene that felt the Woodiest Allen scene ever. Is the call girl scene.
Oh my god, that's true.
Oh, it's funny.
Okay, that was a funny scene. You're right, I did laugh.
That was a funny scene. I thought they were going to bring back something with her.
Yeah.
But that was weird.
I thought so too. I thought they were going to turn out to be some sort of... Usually one thing about it, like, obviously, the boyfriend that she's trying to hide from him is going to be his uncle,
right.
Of course.
Right, right.
Usually the one thing that they...
I just love... Okay, fine, we'll have sex. Like, let me just take off my face.
Right, that was so strange. And that's the girl from... She's in, oh my god, she's in True Blood. She's in like a lot of little things. She's in the a cappella movie.
Oh yeah, she is.
Yeah, she's in both of them, I think. So yeah, she's getting kind of, I mean, I recognize her every time she's in a movie, you know, either in a bit part or in a bigger part. Here's another thing. The biggest appeal for actors, why Woody Allen is so loved by a lot of actors in Hollywood and at any time of his life, from Dan Keaton till today, which is Kristen Stewart, right? All those actors in between, not just actresses, but actors. The reason they love him is because he gives them a lot of free rein to do acting. Like, he is known for kind of casting these great actors. Even if they're not known at the time, they will become known because of Woody Allen. Or the other way around. They'll come back their career because of Woody Allen movie that they're in.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
They're giving a lot of free birth to do amazing acting. Do you guys get any sense of that for this movie? No. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're talking about that.
Like Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Stewart, yeah.
Like, I'm seriously, like, I hate the woman. But I was like, she actually became a desirable person. I could see, like, her character being somebody that was sought after. Not only by Bobby, but by Phil and, you know.
Did you buy that?
I don't hate her like Luke does, but or should
like she fucking convinced me, and I hate her. With...
Did I buy that from both of them? Like she's like this. I agree what they say a lot about her.
I agree that she's a cool gal, and I would date
cool,
her too.
Grounded, everything about her is
definitely
cool.
On Hollywood.
Right, but I didn't find this. I mean, I wasn't looking for the drop dead gorgeous person, but she was very pretty. She was very.
Well, I didn't talk about that too a little
very
bit.
Very appealing as well, but I didn't see. I guess if you got to know her, then yeah, that's where I see the appeal. But not like this. The moment I laid eyes on you, it was just like, oh, I don't see that.
No, I won't say that. But yeah, throughout the movie, I was convinced of her being the kind of girl that got away.
Sure, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's fine. That's very convincing. That she is a good actress. And clearly, I'm starting to see that her Twilight thing is just her just getting into Hollywood. Like,
yeah, that's obviously.
And she was always going to be a good actress. She was just waiting for the opportunity to be given.
Daniel Radcliffe did. What's up?
Yeah, and Barbara Patterson, speaking of another Twilight actor, he's been doing some good stuff. Not as much as Stewart, but Cosmopolis, right, guys? Right. You know,
yeah, but it's been a while. So.
No, he did another one last year. It was pretty good. I don't remember the name of it. It doesn't matter.
It's okay.
Not Cosmopolis.
Cosmopolis 2, the Cosmopoling.
Or not Cosmopolis. Does he
die at the end? I don't remember. Doesn't matter. I just wish the movie had more to it. Like, there's another thing about this movie is that it doesn't have any consequences as well. Talk about that in the other movie we talked about.
Yeah, that's a big
everyone thing. Just leaves each other, tears each other. No one has any guilt. No one has any responsibility.
That's a big thing in a Woody Allen
along.
Movie.
The guy doesn't. We don't even see the uncle's wife that he's gonna leave and for the thing.
Right.
And they're all supposed to be family, but not really family because they don't see each other because they live in different parts of the coast.
It's
just so everyone's just so nonchalant about just not giving a fuck.
Right. Yeah.
All the time. And that's a lot of his movies. A lot of his movies. And sometimes it works for his benefit, like very charming. And sometimes it works very funny, like in a more funny, comical, in the moment way.
Well, maybe it's also the people in that society or that, like, that socialite, you know, thing that's really, they don't care.
They both don't care. The only person that cares in this entire movie, and maybe now that I think about it, this could be the only reason they introduce this gigantic subplot of the brother, is when the intellect husband is, like, worried about and feeling guilty about, you know, the neighbor being killed.
Yeah.
You know? Which, again, comes way later in the movie after so much other bullshit of showing the brother murdering people. Yeah, that's the only person that feels the consequences in this entire movie is that couple, maybe. But not even the wife, either, because she's trying to talk her way out of it, like, morally. And the husband, who's the intellect, I guess, would I try to say only smart people can know what they're doing? But even that's not the point because he's barely in the movie, too. I don't understand. So I didn't like it. And I didn't care too much about the narration either. We didn't need it. I feel like some of the acting could have done that, or a lot less of the narration could have been cut, or I don't know. I mean, I know he does narration a lot, but doesn't mean that it worked in this movie.
Right.
You know, it's not Goodfellas either. So, narration speaking.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't have much anything else, but I have a feeling we're going to revisit this movie when we do our top tens.
Okay. That's your loss.
Fuck you.
Right below Star Wars.
Not that high.
I know.
I mean...
Oh, FYI, I pre-ordered Snowden.
Snowden.
Shut up.
Chada.
Chada.
All right, you have been listening to...
No.
Don't tell me what to do that. Bob has something to say.
Yeah. Where you're going with it, I guess the family thing, and you say, like, nobody else cares except for this one guy.
That shows any kind of remorse or guilt about anything. And it wasn't even his fault.
Right. No, I don't know. Maybe it's... What is he trying to show us besides the fact that love... What about love?
I think
love?
He just wrote this over one weekend and decided to make the movie.
What about love is he writing in this movie?
Nothing. That it's... That the idea of having a life that is in the cafe society-esque fashion, like of a fashion, of means, of wealth and popularity, mm-hmm. is more important than your crush. Maybe. Because she clearly picks the more successful guy, and he becomes successful because of that failure and finds someone that's, I would argue, more gorgeous than Kristen Stewart anyway.
Sure.
And has a kid with her and everything. And clearly they like each other. I don't know about love, because I didn't see any love in this movie. But like...
Sure.
And that's the only possible kernel of anything I can catch. But if it's shown, it's shown very nonchalant and just there.
Yeah. Well, I just think
apt title, though.
I think the big thing is, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the title as well. I think the big thing about the movie, and this is where I brought it up to you, is that you kind of pegged it. You kind of said it. Where it's these people who choose their other love, right? But not their, I guess, true love, right?
Yeah.
Which is themselves, right? And they have to live with the consequences. Because, especially him, because he's more... And both of them live with the consequences, even though the guy left his wife for her, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're not talking about Steve Carell's person. We're talking about just... what was her name? Bonnie, right? Or Vonnie.
Vonnie.
Vonnie and Bobby. And I specifically said V, not a B, and I fucked it up anyway. with Vonnie, they choose not to break that because that's a decision they made a long time ago already.
True.
Right? So, and it is living with your own things. And I get that. And I actually like it for that reason. I just don't think it's like that huge buildup. Like, I get their friends and they wanted to be something, but they never go any further than that. And I know you don't have to spell out every fucking word, like, and say it to the crowd and be like, God, this is what we meant, yeah. Right? But I got it. I got the message, right? So overall, I do think it is kind of fulfilling. I get where Luke likes it.
Yeah, I think it was. I think for me, it was just more personal impact, probably.
Right,
so.
Sure. That's cool. But I'm saying, and I like that part.
I'm trying to see that.
I like that, too. I just felt like the execution.
You're heartless, you know? I have a heart.
No, I just felt the execution. Really? I just felt some of the execution wasn't as strong as other movies I've seen from him. And that's the problem.
Yeah. How can you be so... I don't know why I thought.
Okay. Anyways. I was going to say something. What did you guys think of Steve Carell's character? I just felt like he was going to laugh.
I think he was impersonating some famous Hollywood mogul that we just don't know.
We just don't
right.
know.
I think that's...
I think
that
it's a gigantic reference to someone that I don't remember.
I just don't know.
It could be Louis B. Mayer. I mean, I think he sounds a little like Louis B. Mayer. But I'm not 100% because right. Guess what? I never met the guy. I never read a book about
yeah.
him. Never saw a good edition of him. I wish that guy was huge. If you know that guy, you know everything. Anything else on Cafe Society? I'm leaning towards no, but yes, maybe no.
No, I enjoyed it.
Recommend it. Roth doesn't. I don't.
You enjoyed it to the point of? How high do you recommend it?
Yeah, 5 stars.
It's five.
Five?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. You just get 5 stars like that?
No.
Like free?
Willy nilly?
I give it 1.
Oh, willy. Wow.
Maybe 2.
Oh, it's pretty rough.
2 for the production value. It's not bad.
Yeah, no, this is going to be one of those movies I'm going to be buying.
I mean, that's fine.
Cool. Amazon.
Just like Midnight in Paris.
I mean, yeah, that's a great movie. I'll back you up on that, but not this one. Anyway, that is it for our show. You have been listening to another movie podcast.
Damn.
Hey. You eyes light up.
I know.
They lit up.
Because I'm fucking catching you.
You just can't wait for me to fuck it up. Don't forget to send us feedback on all your thoughts on it. Is Luke wrong? Am I right? At podmoviecast@gmail.com. And check out our website at otherpodcast.com for all the latest updates and when the next show, when this one's dropping and when the next one will be and what it will be about. And for bonus stuff, you can follow me on Twitter and Letterboxd.
Wait, Oscar, what are we going to review next week?
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
Jesus. You can follow me on Twitter or Letterboxd at Armin Filmmaker. That's Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Ralph?
You can follow me at Gamer Ralph. That's with 2 R's and an F.
Cool.
Not that's a P-H,
no,
but...
No one else has Twitter, right?
Oh, no. No, but another thing. Hey, if you want a review and tell me what sports movies you'd like for me to pick for the next show, because, you know, the Cubs won the World Series, specifically baseball movies, I'd be down, glad to choose all of
them. There's some good baseball movies, though.
Yeah. We could watch Spaceman, like I wanted to.
Spaceman?
Mm-hmm. Continue. Luke?
Dr. Spaceman.
Leo Spaceman.
Leo Spaceman.
That's a great name.
Anyway,
why don't you just tell us?
Luke?
Why don't you just tell them what our
name Why don't you
are?
Just tell us the name of the movie you'd like to see?
Yeah, why don't you tell us that? What's your Twitter handle if you want to give it out?
Blind Noir.
Right on. Sorry, I'm mad at you, so I get to be weird at you. Okay, so next time, I'm picking the films. We'll release the next show on November 18th, and we'll be reviewing Ang Lee's newest movie, which is a long title, by the way. Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk. Anyone seen the trailer for this one?
Negative.
Yeah.
Who's Ang Lee and why should we care?
Like a pie guy.
Guys, Ang Lee.
Brokeback Mountain. He did.
Okay.
Crouching Tiger. Yeah. Anyway, we'll also be doing Denis Villeneuve's latest film, Arrival, which looks badass, like a sci-fi thriller with Amy Adams, I think. And we'll end our show, conclude our show that week of November 18th with a documentary called Wiener. That's right. I said the word wiener, and that's how you pronounce it. It's not wiener. It is wiener. Anyone heard of this one? You know it.
Yes.
Can't wait to see this one. So, until then, my little cinephiles.
He's going to see wieners. That's why he's so happy.
Wiener, wiener, wiener.
Until then, everybody, I am Oscar.
And Luke.
And Ralph.
See you later.
You will not remember the last hour and a half of what you have just seen. You will forget the contents of this movie.
All right, let's test. Let's start with Roth this time. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you want me to speak in my normal voice, which is like this? Or do you want me to speak in my very cheerful, celebrated voice?
Let's go with celebrated first, because the Cubs just won.
The Cubs just won!
You're right, that is loud.
Mm-hmm.
Now your normal voice.
Yeah, so the Cubs just won, guys.
Nice. Luke?
Fun stats. 66% of the people in this room don't give a shit. I know how you baseball people love stats.
Are you including me in this?
Yes.
That's right, I don't give a shit.
There's only three people in here.
I'm glad.
How else is the statistic supposed to work? Technically, it should be 66.66%.
I'm glad that they won. No, I'm happy that they won. It's fun. It's all good.
He said he's going to get a tattoo?
Yeah.
God, how many Cubs tattoos are coming out of this thing? Or is it Jack 2, The Reachening?
Oh, it's Jack 2, The Reachening.
Okay.
And it's not even Jack 2, Jack Reacher 2, The Reachening.
Yeah.
It's Jack 2, The Reachening.
Jack 2, yeah. Isn't that kind
no,
of
it's 2 Jack? Jack Reacher.
Ooh.
2 Jack Reacher.
Do you have a thing? Pull top.
I do. Okay. You guys ready? Sorry. Jack Reacher 2.
Let's do you.
Check out my dick.
Okay, Ralph.
It's long and hairy. Check out his dick. It's long and hairy.
I like him bald.
American pasta. Spaghetti.
Fuck yeah.
Pastoral pasta.
Check one, check two, check.
What does pastoral mean? That's a word I'm not sure.
Pasta oral?
Pastoral would be like, I guess, I take it as in like...
What, the cows graze?
Grain it. Yeah, all that stuff, yeah.
Like pasture?
The pasture, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Making sure. I wasn't sure.
I would think that was what it meant.
Watch me both be wrong. It's pasta for real.
All right, I'm going to...
Pastoral adjective. Especially of land or a farm used for or related to keeping or grazing of sheep or cattle.
Cool.
In the Christian church, concerning or appropriate to the giving of spiritual guidance.
Ready?
Nice. Okay.
Synonyms.
That makes, shut up.
Priestly... Clerical, big word, ministerial.
Pastor. That makes sense. I got that wrong.
Ministerial.
Overall.
Noun.
Overall.
Oh, never mind. This is what it was. A work of literature portraying an idealized version of country life.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I forgot to ask that question. God damn, it was really important.
What?
About how the days of your time matters to your life. Like, that's the whole point of the movie.
Yeah.
And that's the one question I didn't ask.
Well,
that's a shame.
That's because you guys all suck. I'm kidding. It's fine.
Cafe Society.
All right. Let me know when you're ready. I'll do the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2.